figure that out.
I think it officially starts the 26th of May.
Oh, 26th. That's before Shavuos?
Yeah.
What day of the week is that?
Tuesday.
The Tuesday before Shavuos.
Yeah.
So the Tuesday, maybe we'll have that week. For sure the Tuesday would be fine. I think Thursday, and the next week I'm going to be away. But Tuesday, maybe we'll do Tuesday and Wednesday, or Tuesday and Thursday. We'll figure it out of that week, and then we'll figure out the rest. So the first year will be whatever we don't finish today of this whole group. Til Yud Aleph on the base, and the Yud Zayin and base Yud Tes. We'll get through the basic things, hopefully. But if there's anything left over that's important, or just a few ha'aros to add, so then we'll that'll be for the first day. And then after that, we'll just figure out what to do. I wouldn't mind connecting. We're, again, within striking distance of finishing up the topics of the parak, because even the tests through Yud Aleph on the base that we've just done, as you see, overlaps a lot of Yud Aleph on base, Yud Gimel and Aleph, Yud Gimel on the base. We already did Tezvav and Tezayim, so we'll do that. We'll try to, you know, finish some of those, or if somebody has specific topics that they want to tackle and get in, or maybe this, maybe the beginning of the fourth parak is a good place also to zero in on some of the issues that we have encountered throughout, but just, you know, haven't had a chance to go through in a more technical way. So I guess we'll, the first day of June, which will be, what did you say again? Tuesday, May 26th. So that for sure should be okay. And then we'll figure out exactly what the best schedule is for the people who are going to be around as well. Okay. Before we just continue, let me just make, again, since we are practically serious time pressure, so let me just make a couple of quick comments. Just 1 second. Yeah, okay. I don't know what we need to do here. We're not going to be able to speak about the issue of Ksav Gabe Ksav in detail right now. So I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments, since it is one of the things that shows up on the page. We talked about it for a minute or two, so let me just add a couple of comments on Mekarin Lahem and the question of Kriya. So regarding Rashi, again, this, have somebody read the Tosfos through very quickly. Dani, you want to just... Mekarin Lahem and Yorchalak. Mekarin Lahem and
Yorchalak. Here, the question is, we started...
So what's the problem? Wait, so what's Tosis asking? That Makar and
Lahem Diyar, that you might have an issue of Ksav, that Rashi said it's not a problem with Ksav Ksav Ksav, even though you're tearing in advance, and that would be
sort of deeper. Right. The Kriya would seem to be Ksiva. And therefore, that should be Ksav Gabe Ksav. And the Gemara says clearly that Ksav Gabe Ksav is a psul in a get. Okay, that's the problem. So just to preliminarily, just to make the comment or two very quickly, I think we started the other day, I just want to just add one or two points quickly. Obviously, the main sugas are in the second parak, starting from Yutes, Yutes, Chav, Kapalof, those sugas of have to do with Ksiva and Sefer in Get. And what they establish pretty clearly is that when it comes to Gittin, more than the informational aspect is important. One would have thought, if it weren't for Gzeres HaKasuv and weren't for these Gemaras, that when it comes to a Get, as with other Shtaros, that there's no formal requirement either of Chefetz Shel Ksav or of Maisa Ksiva. The important thing is that you communicate the message, the tochen, the sfiras dvarim of the particular shtar. And therefore, how the information gets there, you know, would be irrelevant, as long as it's nikar and it's accurate. Obviously, what the sugyas on Daf Yutes and Chaf establish is that the concept of chefta shel get is something that exists, and the Chefza shel ksav or tsuras ksiva is important, and possibly even, or probably even, that maisa ksiva is important. And this, of course, is a very important theme centered around those several dapin the second parak, but it has important implications, you know, in a broader way to understand gittin and get as opposed to kinyanim and regular shtar. So on one level, this of course flows from the gzeres hakasav of a kasav, right? Kasav lasefer krisus. To some extent, it also is related to the idea of sefer, part of it. And it requires that we look at Gittin in terms of Ksiba and Chafza Shel Ksav and Sefer and Kol Torah Kula, which means that when you're, you know, discussing the status of Ksiba in Hilchos Shabbos or in Ksivas Stam, etc., then Gittin is a place that you would be looking at as well. Again, if it wasn't for the Gzeres HaKasav, we wouldn't think so, just like we wouldn't think that regular Shtar is a place to look at. But the Kasav, the Gzeres HaKasav, and these Dinim establish that there is this requirement. The fact that the Kasav, according to Rav Elazar, is also the Makar for the Shema, obviously is no coincidence as well. And it raises the question whether this isn't Stam Gzeres HaKasav, or possibly, again, relating to our bigger theme, whether this doesn't imply that preparation of the shtar in the case of Gittin is itself part of the Maisa Geirishin. Just like we spoke about the Tzivui, Liksiva, and the Lishma, possibly having that function, and then obstacles or impediments in the middle, like the problem of Bechubar, Bechusar Ketzitza, being that kind of problem. And then, you know, for that reason, the original Das, Legarish, already having status, so pulling back from that is a problem. Minu Shliach Laholacha is a stage, things of that sort. And again, if we do get in June to speak a little bit about the first couple of Dapim in the fourth Perek, I think they really highlight that issue as well. So, in light of all that, to suggest that the Kasav, which does formalize not only the Chefza Shel Get, but even the Maisa Ksiva, may be linked to the fact that Ksiva Saget is considered to be a stage in, or an expression of Das Lagarish, and a stage in Maisa Geirishin. Again, everything associated with preparing the vehicle is itself part of the process when it comes to Get. That seems to be the path. So in terms of Tzura and Cheftza being formal, I think that's also related to the role of Get as a Matir. Again, I'm just throwing out the Rashi Prakim. This would have to be established definitively by analyzing these sugyas, obviously. Sefer Echad, velo Shnayim u'Shlosha Sfarim. Again, all these things that prove that the Cheftza and the Maisa Ksiva and the Tzuras Haksav, beyond the communicated message, all, I think, point to this idea of Get as a Matir and Maisa Ksiva as a role in the Sina of, or at least Das Lagaresh, and ultimately Geirishin. Many of the issues that we spoke about early on in the Masechta obviously underscore the Cheftza Shel Ksav idea, the discussion about whether you need Dafka Ashuris, Tagin, Mukaf Gevil, Sirtut, specific amount of Shuros, that whole topic. And this question of Ksav al Gabi Ksav may be part of that issue as well. If you take the view that the problem of Ksav al Gabi Ksav is the Tzura or Cheftza Shel Ksav on top that is affected by there already being a Ksav on the bottom, which is one possibility, so this belongs to that group. But it's also possible that the problem of Ksav al Gabi Ksav isn't the problem in the Cheftza Shel Ksav, but rather it goes to that other point, and that is Maisa Ksiva. And it has to do with that. This, of course, would be connected also to the problem of Chok Tochos, Chok Yerechos, and some of the other issues, too. So comparing to Shabbos, yeah.
Is that really the case? Is it, you expect that the Dim wouldn't be a problem from there?
This is a question which we'd have to discuss, but the question whether all these Dinim apply only more for Rav Elazar or only for Rav Elazar.
Even the Cheftza Shel Ksav issue is part of the body of the Sefer, which is why they are being mayor. They're doing us through Maisa Ksiva, so they're part of the mayor that it's...
Well, there may be a Dinim. Well, it may be a little Shema part, that's the question. So that's something which will need to be explored. That's a discussion of the Rishonim already in some of these issues, whether or not we should be mechalik general laws of Rabbi Meir, and by extension, whether or not we always say, as we've discussed, and we'll get back to it today, midrav lazar nishmal rav meir, midrav meir nishmal rav lazar, which is what you need for the ksiva as opposed to the chasima. So you're right. That's one of the issues to explore, just not this minute. The comparison to Hilchos Shabbos, so on the one hand you have the question of stam, which is of course a very important frame of reference. On the other side, of course, you have the melachas ksiva in Hilchos Shabbos. With regard to that, you have also the perspective provided by the famous Machlokas Rishonim regarding Chok Tochos, which questions what is its status vis-a-vis Shabbos, and that's the famous discussion between the Rashba and the Ran in the end of Perek Habona, whether or not you mechalik between Gittin and Shabbos, possibility that the Malachas Machsheves Osur Torah will determine that even if Chok Tochos is not considered ksiva in Ged, it would be considered ksiva in Hilchos Shabbos. Now, of course, that's very unusual. Last year when we learned Chulin, those who were here, so we talked about this Ran in the context of discussing Shechita, right? If you compare the question of Kilkul in terms of Hilchos Shabbos and other areas of Halacha, is Shechita considered a Maisa Hana, a Maisa Tikkun, or a Maisa Kilkul? So some of the Rishonim point out, or the Bali Tosis discuss this problem. Tosis and the Ramban, and the Ramban quotes an interesting Ravid, and Av Ches and Chulin. There seem to be stiras as to whether or not we view Shechita as something which is Tikkun or Kilkul. After all, Shechita is considered to be, from a financial point of view, a kilkul, and yet in Hilchos Shabbos, Shekayev, Mishum, Shochei. So the Bali Tosis in some places give the answer, Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah, that in Hilchos Shabbos, this is considered tikkun, even though elsewhere it might be considered kilkul. Normally, Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah is a kula. Right, it establishes that Hilchos Shabbos has a higher threshold, a higher standard, which needs to be met. In that sense, it's a kula, meaning things that you do in Kol Torah Kula that would be defined in a certain way are insufficient when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, to Mechayev and Hilchos Shabbos, because they're not Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah, Besasek, Melachshen Tzvika Legufa, perhaps, and so on. Kalkel. But there's one Gemara, the Gemara in the Gemara Baba Kama Dav Samech, the end of a Kodesh, where the Gemara uses Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah in the opposite way. The Gemara speaks about Zoreh. The Gemara says, isn't Zoreh just, Grama B'Alma? And therefore, how can it be Chayev and Hilchos Shabbos? And the Gemara says, Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah. That's the one place where the Gemara uses Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah not as a Kula, but as a Chumra. The conclusion would seem to be that Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah is not a Kula or a Chumra. It's a different way of relating to Malacha. It accentuates the bigger picture, or the Cheftza Shel Malacha, the result. However you want to explain what it is of Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah, it's a different way, it's a different perspective, it's a different emphasis on the Malacha itself. And that's what the Gemara means. And that's what the Rishonim mean as well. So when they say about Shechita, and again, it comes up in Tosin Sanhedrin, Daf Chavav, they talk about Katsira or Zriya, depending on how you read that Tosis, that in Hilchos Shabbos, you're going to be Chayiv, even though in, let's say, Shvius, it's not considered Zoreya. So with, essentially, they're working with that Gemara and Bava Kama Daf Samech, with the idea that Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah is a different perspective on the Malacha. So when the Ran and the end of Abona and the Rashba argue about this question of Chok Tochos, Chok Yerechos, the relationship between Gittin and Shabbos, and the idea that even if in Gittin Chok Tochos isn't considered Ksiva, but in Hilchos Shabbos it'll be enough because Melechas Machsheves Asur Torah, so again it's in this pattern of the Melechas Machsheves Asur Torahs, which are a Chumra rather than a Kula. It's the idea, again, that we're talking about a different notion or a different perspective on ksiva. And what seems to emerge is that when it comes to, and again, this is not the only way to read this, because I don't have so much time, so we're just going to leave with this for the moment. What seems to emerge is that when it comes to gittin, you require a maisa ksiva. And chaktochos is lacking as a maisa ksiva. Whereas when it comes to Shabbos, maybe the totsa'a of creating chefta shel ksav is what's koveya. In light of that, so the question of ksav al gabei ksav becomes very crucial, because ksav al gabei ksav is an issue in Gittin, and it's also an issue in Shabbos, and it has very much to do with the continuation of this question here. So Rashi, as you correctly said, has this idea that Makar Lahem Niyar is not going to be a problem when you write over it. And Tosas asks the question, what about Ksav al Gabei Ksav? Go ahead. So, in light of this, right, go ahead. So, so Tosa says, Tosa's bothered by this, so Tosa says, Ein kan. Yeah. So what does he mean by that?
So that it's not really a full hakika, really, it's more of a slight.
So does it work for Gittin? Does it work for Gittin alone or not?
No. Once you put in,
the simple reading of this point of Tosa's is that Tosa's saying, this particular Rishima is less than the ksiva al gabe tablo pinkas that we're speaking about earlier. But in Achanami, had it been a ksiva which would qualify for get, then it would, that would always determine ksav al gabe ksav. Anytime the ksav tachton is a ksav, then the ksav elyon is ksav al gabe ksav. That seems to be the first view of Tosis, and therefore we're just making a very subtle differentiation between Algabe Tavalo Pinchas and Rosh Ming Tzask De Lachtom Olav Eidim. Okay. The truth is that the Rambam says that the whole case of Makarlim the Archalak is, Donnie? Is what? Anybody? With its Dover Shenu Miskai. Let's say you use, I don't know if it's invisible ink exactly, but it's the point, something that is not permanent. So then, according to the Rambam, obviously there is no issue, no problem to begin with. And this is the first day of Tosis here as well. But then Tosis goes on to say, Va'od. Oh. So what is he trying to prove with that?
So he's saying that even though the first one is a ksav, it could be that this second time around, you're still...
So this is a rejection of the first assumption. The assumption was...
Ksav
agav could be ksud, even if the ksav tachton is good. So then the problem isn't that al-pidin, whenever you have a ksav tachton, there's no ksav elyon. It really just depends on the quality, I guess, of ksav elyon, given ksav tachton, that's one possibility, or that would be a din in the cheftza shel ksav, or could still be a din in the maisa ksiva, just that you'd have to figure out when is ksav tachton an impediment to maisa ksiva, and when not. So what's interesting about this, if you look at the Tosfos HaRosh, Tosfos HaRosh points out that there's a problem here. Because if you look at the Gemara about Dio al Gabi Sikra, so there it seems clear that you might be mechalek between Shabbos and Gittin. Dio al Gabi Sikra and Hilchos Shabbos, you're a chayim. But Dio al Gabi Sikra, when it comes to Gittin, might actually not work. So why is Tosis bringing a raya, right, that Ksav Tachton does not per se exclude Ksav Elyon from a case of Shabbos which doesn't work in Gittin? Okay. So the Tosa Rosh discusses that question. Anybody saw it? Jason saw it? Tosa Rosh has the following line. It doesn't really answer it so much, but it at least relates to the problem. Where he says, the ode. Afilu yhav ksav kiven sha elyon chashuv tvei min atachtam lo chashuv ksav lagav ksav kena minu lekamon did yol gabi sikra chashuv ksav linen Shabbos al pisha sikra levada hu ksav. Afal gav damer lekamon afal bishanu medamim nasa maisa. Hani mili dio al gabi sikra de sikra chashiv ktas. Avol dio al gabi reshima ksav gomor hu beilin yin Shabbos beilin yin gittin. So the Tosa Rosh wants to have his cake and eat it too. Right? You can bring a raya from dio al gabi sikra, even though the raya itself doesn't work. What's the point? Apparently there are two dinim here. One is that dio, one is the problem of, in theory, if is there a hefta shel ksav, or is there a maisa ksiva, in theory, a ksav elyon al gabe ksav tachton. It sounds like what Tosa Rosh is saying is, if alpidin, ksav tachton, eliminates or precludes ksav elyon, that would apply bein begitin, bein b'shabbos. The very fact that in Hilchos Shabbos there can be a ksav elyon, even though there is a ksav tachton, means that per se there is no stira, at least on the level of hefta shel ksav, let's say. And if that's the case, then even if there are differences between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Gittin, right, we can now attribute those to other factors. And that's why I started with the Hagdama of Chok Tochos, Chok Yerechos, Melechas Machsheves, Osra Torah, etc. Had there been a rule that anytime there's Ksav Tachton, there is no Ksav Elyon, that would have been across the board. Once we know that not to be true, now we can make the following distinction. For Gerushin, right, the important thing is whether the Ksav Tachton, right, is a Dabar Chashuv. And in Hilchos Shabbos, we don't really care about that. Malachas Machsheves, Osra Torah. It could be because in Hilchos Shabbos, we care about creating a Chefsa Shel Ksav. And as long as there's a Chefsa Shel Ksav, as long as it's Nikar, in other words, the difference between the bottom and the top, that's considered a Chefsa Shel Ksav. In Gerushin, right, you also have to do a Maisik Siva. And as long as there's a Ksav Chashuv on the bottom, that's not considered a Maisik Siva. It might be considered a second Chefsa Shel Ksav on top, but it wouldn't be considered a Maisik Siva. But Lu Yitzuyar, that the thing on the bottom, even if it qualifies for Ksiva's get, right, was not considered a Davar Chashuv, right, a Chefsa Shel Ksiva Gemura. So then, you could not only accomplish a new Chefsa Shel Ksav, but a new Maisa Ksiva. And that's exactly what you have in the case of Kriya. The case of Kriya is a case which is, that's the Kriya on the bottom is less than the Sikra, and since we know that notwithstanding the presence of Ksav Tachton in theory, there can be a Ksav Elyon, so now the only question is whether or not it's not only a Chefsa Shel Ksav, but a Maisa Ksiva, and then you can distinguish between Sikra and Kriya. That would be the way to understand Tosas. Tosas themselves take a different route based on Rebbe Yochanan. No? Tani, go ahead. Yeah. So what happens here?
They have a pencil, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. So there is no problem of Ksav HaGabei Ksav at all. But here the question is whether isn't another issue, and that is? The question of Kiyum. Now the Tosas and Tosa Rosh and the Rajba speak about it in terms of Kiyum. In theory, one could have said that there's another problem, and that maybe, again, this isn't considered Ksiva. Maybe it isn't the signature. Tosas and Rosh and the Rajba zero in on the ability to verify the signature, because it isn't singular. Right? It's not unique to him. Somebody else is really establishing this tsuras hachasima. But in theory, one could have said that as long as you don't establish your own chasima, maybe it's just not considered a chasima at all. In a way, the discussion of some achronim, I mentioned this the other day, who say that, you know, the Gemara later on says that you don't even necessarily require ksiva, you need some sort of identifying mark. Now, is an identifying mark at odds with the notion of ksiva? Not necessarily, depends how you define what ksiva means in this context. But the point is that the identifying mark, which isn't technically ksiva, and a ksiva without an identifying mark, right, are opposite ends of the spectrum. So it doesn't have to only be a kiyum problem. It could be that it just isn't considered chasima. Maybe it's considered ksiva, but it's not considered chasima. And that goes back to the question of what I mentioned the other day again, the Rabbeinu Simcha and the Or Zarua, the question of making somebody a shliach on your signature. The Ritva here has an aura also where he says, you might think if you have this kind of a cutout, so then you should just be able to pour the ink. Because that would not be good, because you need the kasav. So again, this is another example where you might get the information across, for sure, and you may even have a cheftza shel ksav, or maybe that's lacking too, but you certainly don't have a maisa ksiva when you're pouring ink inside a mold of some sort. That isn't ksiva. Okay. Again, it's not anything that could be noticed from the outside, but in terms of the maisa, that would be important. Then finally, they quote this Yerushalmi. Go ahead. Yerushalmi Parich.
Yerushalmi Parich, Malot Sav Rishona, Erich, Bein HaGayot, Al Yitzkayim, Bekos Namal.
Now again, the truth is that this is the Tosus' interpretation of the Yerushalmi, because Tosus and Shita Sam think that the problem is, the problem of the stencil. But according to Rashi, the better way to read the Yerushalmi would probably be that the Yerushalmi is bothered by the question of Sav HaGabek Sav. Mishani? So what happens there? What does that mean?
So they're not just filling in and not doing anything. They're kind of writing out their signature.
Now, they don't follow exactly.
They're not just like pouring ink.
They're not even scratching in the ink on the entire kera. The kera is used as a rough kind of thing, and then they're making their own way within that. I mean, they don't fill it out. There are some Rishonim who have the formulation the other way, and that is that they fill out more, they go beyond. I think this is an interesting question for depending on what the problem of the Yerushalmi is. Again, according to Tosafot, the problem of the Yerushalmi is identification of the signature, so it probably would make it wouldn't make a difference whether you go beyond it or within it. If the problem is a problem of ksav gabi ksav, that's the way to read the Yerushalmi. So that's what the Tosa Rush and the Rajba both suggest for Rashi. They say that Rashi will read the Yerushalmi Ksav al Gabi Ksav, and the answer is it's not Ksav al Gabi Ksav if it is not filled out completely. Because then not only is it Nikar in terms of being his Chasima, but that also would not constitute Ksav al Gabi Ksav. Let's see if I can find the line. However, the fact that the Pirush Rashi Namiyesh Lefarish Osel Lehem Srita Rechava, and that would answer the problem of Ksav Al Gabi Ksav as well. But he points out here in the footnote actually that if you look at the Torah's Gittin says he's not sure whether this should really work in Ksav Al Gabi Ksav. Ksav Al Gabi Ksav may refer to the quality of the ksav underneath, as we just discussed. But in terms of the width, or the breadth, or whatever it is, maybe that's irrelevant to ksav agam ksav. Here, perhaps one could be mechalek, as I mentioned before, between expanding on the kera underneath, or doing less, in terms of whether this would solve the problem of ksav agam ksav. Okay, that's in terms of that. The second point is the next line of the Gemara, Korin Lifnei Mechosmin. So what does it say about that? So how do you explain that? Right, or Rav Nachman Sifra D'Daini? Okay, so what bothered Tosas here was the problem of Eimi P'ei. And this is the issue that occupies the Rishonim as well, not so much here. The Ramban, the Rajba, the Ritva, but on the sugya later on your test, Amud Beis. Why isn't this Eimi P'ei? So what's Tosa's answer?
They're not telling him what happened, so they're just telling him what the Shar said.
Yeah, and how would you characterize that if you had to take two words halachically? Well, I mean, I'm saying, I would use the phrase gili milsa. Meaning here, it's simply gili milsa, what is in the shtar, as opposed to, they're just telling you what's in the shtar. They're not made about the mice. That's what Rashi said, correct? And if you look at the Rajba on your Tessera days, that's what he says as well. The interesting thing is that the Ramban has a different formulation. Actually, the Rajba has both formulations. His formulation is not gili milsa, but milsa davidi ligluye. And then he quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara about Ishta Modinu, what we talked about when we learned the Sugya of Eid Echad, namely Surin. Namely identifying, if somebody says, oh, this is the brother, right? So is that Davar Sheberba? Right? Ishta Modinu, identifying the Yava. No, that's Gilui Milsa, which is what the Gemara seems to call it. Gemara there says, in Yevamos, it's gili milsa, and that's why it's not a problem. Correct? So the Ramban, I should say the Ramban or the Rajba, or 2 days in the Rajba, the Ramban on the other side, as opposed to Tosas, are we emphasizing gili milsa, or are we emphasizing milsa davidi ligluye? The Rambam, when he talks about ishtimu diinhu, instead of saying what the Gemara says, which is gilui milsa, the Rambam says milsa davidi liguye. The Rambam, when he talks about nemanus of emisa sabal, which we know is a special category, together with sota and egla rufa, again from our discussions earlier in the year. So the Rambam, in a few places, uses the expression milsa davida liguye. Briefly, the point I'm trying to make here is as follows. One could have thought, and for some Rishonim I think it's absolutely true, that, and simple pshat I think is that it's absolutely true, is that there are two totally different ideas, one called Gili Milsa and the other called Milsa Davida Ligluye. The idea of Gili Milsa is to define something in a general way, again, hearkening back to our discussion on Daf Beis and Daf Gimel, as Isurim as opposed to Mamon. In other words, it's focusing on the Chefza or identification as opposed to a Maisa, a Davrusha Be'erva, etc. Gili Milsa means like you're just defining something, you're identifying it. And that doesn't require Shnayim Edim because that's a kind of extension of Eid Echad and Isurim. Right? You're identifying the Chela. You're identifying her as an Isha Nida. Here you're identifying the brother, in the case of Ishta Modinu, and you're identifying what this shtar is, or what it says in the shtar. Milsa Davida Ligluye, on the other hand, one might have thought, is a different idea. And that is, even sometimes where you're dealing with a Maisa, and with a Dvar Mamon, since it's a Vida Ligluye, since Sof, it's all going to come out, so we relax the rules that generally require Shnayim. If it's built in that it's Avidi Ligluye, then you don't need Shnayim. I think most people certainly understood the Rambam that way, where the Rambam says that Milsa Avidi Ligluye is responsible for Eidus B'misa Sabal. It's generally understood that that's what the Rambam is talking about, based on the Gemara's in Yevamos, Milsa Avidi Ligluye. However, the fact that the Rambam in Ishtimo De'inu also calls it Milsa Avidi Ligluye, and some other evidence, which we're not going to go into now, has always convinced me, and I think I mentioned this when we learned the sugya earlier in the year, that for the Rambam, Milsa Davida Liguye and Gili Milsa are Hainu Hach. They're really one and the same. And the real idea is that anything that is Avida Liguye, right, is viewed as Gili Milsa in some sense. It's going to come out anyway. It means that the information is there and you just have to identify it. Things that won't necessarily are not likely to come out, or there's no inherent reason that they should come out, the focus isn't simply to to identify it, but it's to define it, right? To characterize it. That becomes Eidus al Amaisa and not Eidus al Achefza. So Avida Ligluye is a way of establishing Gilui Milsa. So I think it's just very, very interesting that again the Rajba on your Testament base as two deos, Gili Milsa or Milsa Davida Liguye, obviously sees them as two different things, which I think is the standard view. The Ramban sees it as Milsa Davida Liguye, Tosas here understands it as Gili Milsa. Of course, we had this idea of Gili Milsa also in the Rajva the other day about Dikduke mitzvos of the Kuti. Okay, so Kor Lifnei Mechosmim, that becomes an important issue. There's also discussion here when we say Kor Lifnei Mechosmim, what exactly does this cover? Does the aid have to have any contact with and be aware of the Dasa Miskayev of the Bailim or not? Now, is it enough that even that, let's say, is included in the Karim Lifnei and Bechosmin? As long as you don't have a problem because of Gili Milsa or Milsa Davido Ligluye? Right? Or it's just to kind of affirm that the Dasa Niskayev that you're already privy to is connected to the, or is consistently captured in the words of this particular shtar. Okay. That also seems to be a discussion in the Rishonim Daf Tetzvah base. And that would be an important question about two things. Number one, Dasa Niskayev, and how directly it has to be connected to the Chasimas Hashtar, and secondly, to the point that we just made. Namely, is this a problem of ABP aid, or is it just a problem of either Milsa Davido Ligluye or Gilui Milsa? Especially if you distinguish them. From a Gilui Milsa point of view, right, it might be enough to identify or to, you know, draw the hyphen between the Dasa Niskayev that you've experienced and, you know, it accurately being embodied in the shtar. However, if the Dasa Niskayev itself is only generated by means of the report of this kriya, is that really just Gili Milsa? Maybe that's already nogeya to the more substantive parts of the shtar. So at least that's something that needs to be looked at. Okay, so much for Daf Tes of Advais. Again, we won't have a chance to go back, so I wanted to at least talk about that quickly. Now let's get back to Dani, if you don't mind. Yud of Advais, the Mishnah and the Gemara there, about Arkos. And then let's discuss now Arkos and Chas Babialma, and a little bit of Dina Machus Adina, Shemos from Pocket. Let's go to that topic. Go ahead. Okay, so what do we have in the Mishnah?
So Shtar is made in the Arkos of non-Jews. So even if I say the Edom are non-Jews, then it's kosher. As long as it's not a Keter or Shimon.
Yeah, and according to Shimon,
they're all kosher as long as they're not invited.
Yeah. And the Gemara later on will say that from Shimon we're talking about a case of, as it seems just a minute, of Eidim Mesira Kars. Correct? So let's look at the Gemara quickly. Kapasik Betani. Okay, so as we said, as we pointed out on Tuesday, there are several questions here. Marinaf Shayu is something new, or Marinaf Shayu is just a, you know, an application of a universal din, namely Der Ksherim. It's another way of saying they're Ksherim and you can rely on them. Or Marinaf Shayu, love of Marinaf Shayu, is a separate factor here, and if so, how far does it go? Is it Daraisa? Is it Drabanan? That's one question to ask. The distinction between Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Raya is a second question. Which is the exception, which is the rule, or is it a very logical distinction? We're going to discuss all this in just a second. The fact that the distinction is made between Shtar Mecher and Shtar Matana is interesting in the Gemara, because in theory, you could have a Shtar Mecher, which is a Shtar Kinyan, and in theory, you could have a Shtar Matana, which is a Shtar Raya. Right? So is there any significance to the distinction of Mecher and Matana beyond Raya and Kinyan, especially when you consider that the description, right, Yoiv Zuzei Kamayu, applies only to Mecher and not to Matana, does somehow that play a role? In other words, what I'm really asking is, what about all those shtaros in between? generally in the category, let's say, of Sharaya, okay, but where there is no Masar, Zuzayu, Kamayu kind of reality. Let's say, what about Shtari Bechila, Shtari Hoda, Shtari Pshara, all the issues that Rishonim talk about. Where do they fall in the spectrum when it comes to Shtaros Ha'olos Barakots? Then the fourth question to ask is this discussion of Dina Malchusa Dina in the Gemara. The Gemara gives two answers. Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not there's a Machlokas between these answers. It's one way to read the Gemara, which is the way that many, probably most of the Rishonim read. Right, already the Ramban is very clear about it, the Ramban and the Rajba and the Rosh. Right, most of the Chachmei Sfarad, which is, there's no Machlokas in the Gemara. In theory, Dina de Malchusa Dina will apply even to create a Shtar Kinyan. However, the Ibai Seima is, let's say there is no Dina de Malchusa. Let's say Dina de Malchusa just doesn't happen to apply to Shtar Kinyan. The Arkos. So then, if you're working B'dinei Yisrael, right, purely, you're going to need to say the second answer, Tani Chutz Mikigite Nashim. But Lu Yitzur, there is a Din of the Malchusa L'maisa in place. Everybody's going to agree that it works. Or no. Maybe there's a Machlokas in the Gemara here, whether or not Din of the Malchusa Dina helps you when it comes to a Shtar Kinyan. And that would surely be an important Machlokas. And that's the way many Rishonim understand the Rambam. Right? The Rambam does not seem to apply the Din of Dina the Malchusa Dina to this problem. The Rambam seems to say, take the second answer, Yibay Seima, Tani Chutz Mi Kigite Nashim. Certainly that's the way the Magen Mishnah and the other Nosei Kelim and the Rambam understood it. In which case, why not? I mean, why this kind of a limit on Dina de Malchusa Dina? So we'll speak about that problem for a couple of minutes as well. Okay, let's just read on for another couple of lines. God Rab Shimon Omer. Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So what do we have here? Number one, the reason why Gittin and Shichur are different, Krisis Ninu, we have to understand what that is, correct? And then the question of Motor Velozer Mzuyuf Mitocho, right, regarding non-Jewish Eidim. And the question we'll have to also deal with is non-Jewish Eidim is considered to be Mzuyuf Mitocho only in Gittin and Shichur, or even, let's say, in Shtar Kinyan. In Shtar Kinyan, where our coast doesn't work, is there a problem of Modra Belazar b'mezuyaf mitoko? The Pashtus, one would have thought that Modra Belazar b'mezuyaf mitoko would apply anytime there's a problem with the Eidei Chasima. Right? And that means, if you have a Shtar Kinyan, right, and Ola Bar Kos is possible, then even if it's Ayidei Eidei Mesira, there should be a problem of Modra Belazar B'mezuyuf Mitocho. Or, maybe we'll just read the end, a couple more lines in the Gemara, if there was Hedyotos, so even in Dinei Mamanus, even in Shtaraya, there would be a problem. So if you had a Shtar B'Hedyotos, Akum, and you had Chasima, even if it was Ayidei Eidei Mesira, one should say Modra Belazar B'mezuyuf Mitocho. After all, Modra Belazar B'mezuyuf Mitocho B'Pashtos applies not only in Gittin, but in Shar Shtaros. How do we know that? That Modra Belazar B'mezuyuf Mitocho applies in Shar Shtaros and not just in Gittin. Yeah? Exactly. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Chesam at base, which Tosis quotes also on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, right? Ahu Trey Gisi, right? Ahu Shtar Daf Chosmi Bei Trey Gisi, that the Gemara there says, Modra Belazar B'mezuyuf Mitocho. That's a Shtar Matana. So if Rav Lazar's din of Modra Belazar B'mezuyuf Mitocho applies not only in Gittin V'Kiddushin, and Shechoreved, but also in Shtare Mamon. So then one would expect that, you know, just as it applies to Krovim and Psulim, it would apply to Eidim who are ineffective of any sort, including non-Jewish Eidim for Shtare Kinyan and even for Shtare Raya in the context of Hedyotas. What we'll see in a minute is that, according to most Rishonim, that is true. And according to, it seems, at least two prominent Rishonim, that's not always true. Who are the two prominent Rishonim? Elliot? Why am I even raising this question? The Gemara here says Motor Blazim Zvitelcho. Alright, the Gemara says it in the context of Gittin. Okay. But I'm asking the question, what about Shtar Kinyan and what about Shtar Raya Behedyotos? Why should I ask that question? We have explicit Gemara in Sanhedrin that non-Gittin Shtaros have a din of Mezuyah Bitocho. So obviously the answer is yes. Why am I asking, why am I raising this question? Okay. And does the Gemara say that there's no problem with Mezuyah Bitocho? It's not so clear, right? But in terms of Rishonim, you have at least two prominent Rishonim for whom this is a very serious, seems to be a very serious problem. Eliezer? Who? Tosa thinks it's a problem or not a problem?
I think he says that when Rashi got him, why he doesn't answer any Masira.
So is the Rashi or the Tosas? Yeah, what does Rashi say? What does Tosa say?
Rashi says that it should have answered the Masira, but it can't because
Yeah, the Rashi right here, right, on Diramaskal, Tani Chutzme Kigite Nashim, says he should have, they could have given the answer, we're talking about Edi Masira. They don't because we're not talking about that Hekatitzi. We dropped that Hekatitzi. And then Tosa says, what are you talking about? We didn't drop that Hekatitzi. We're going to read the Tosa inside in just a couple minutes. We didn't drop that Hekatitzi, but you couldn't give that answer anyway because Modra Belozer Bezuyat Mitocha. So it sounds like Rashi holds that Modra Belozer Bezuyat Mitocha would not be a problem, and if we were indeed talking about Edi Masira, right, then it would work, even though the Edim are non-Jews and not Shemos in the pocket. So it seems like Rashi on Yudam Bey says that there's no problem of Bezuyif Mitocho in a Shtar Kinyan, right, which was Nichtam Ayidei non-Jews. We'll have to explain that. Okay. That's Rashi, and Tosas disagrees. Who else has that Shita? What other prominent Rishon? Can't get much more prominent than Rashi, right? Well, can you? I mean, not more, but... Exactly. Which Rambam? Yeah, absolutely correct. Rambam Perkhav Zayin Hilchos Malva Halacha Beis seems to think that there is no problem of Modra B'Lazar B'Mezuyah B'Tocho when it comes to Shtar Kinyan. Right? He says it. And the Kesef Mishnah notices it. Right? Did you see the Kesef Mishnah? Kesef Mishnah calls him on it. He says, what happened to Modra B'Lazar B'Mezuyah B'Tocho? Like, what's going on here? He says, it's true that Modra B'Lazar B'Mezuyah B'Tocho applies not only in Gittin, but also in Shar, in Dine Maminis, after all the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Chavches on the base, says, but Ein Adome, Gittin, and Mamon, and since it's non-Jews, as opposed to Krovim and Psulim, so what's really the chance that, it's going to be Asi L'mismachale? So the Rambam felt that, this kind of Mezuyah Mitocho in that kind of area of Halacha is already pushing it. The Rambam thinks that there's no such Halacha. Really? Wow. Anyways, so we'll get back to that. The Rambam and Rashi both seem to have a unique shita about Modra B'Lazar B'Mezuyah Mitocho when it comes to Shar Shtaros and non-Jewish Chosmi. Okay, that's something we have to look at. Actually, in light of what we noted, which was that when it comes to, for example, the Shita of the Gaonim, Ein Echad, Ein Echad B'Shtar, right? Which is Nimsar B'Shnei Nimesira, right? So the Gaonim say that could be a problem of Modra B'Lazar B'Mezuyah B'Tocho, because it's only Ein Echad. Big Chiddush of the Gaon that the Rif quotes on Pevav, which the Rambam also quotes as Deya. And what we noticed is that, in Hilchos, Geirushin, actually the Rambam, even if it's possible, it's possible. But in Hilchos Eidos, the Rambam says about Modra B'Lazar B'Mezuyah B'Tocho that it's Kecheras. So if anything, things are worse in Dine Maminis than they are in Gittin, unlike what the Kesav Mishnah was suggesting. Okay, so we'll have to, we'll try at least to get back. If we don't get back to it now, we'll get back to it that first day back. But this is a problem. So just reading the Gemara, there are some serious problems. Okay, let's just finish the Shaka Vitari and then we'll break it down one by one. Go ahead, let's continue. Yeah, and you have to know exactly all the different ways that these are pronounced. Okay, we're not going to go into it now, but there are going to be Bechina questions on this.
That's the oral section of Bechina.
What? Yeah. Tosis has a whole discussion. Here's, you know, it's the one nun, one gimel, two gimels, two nuns. Yeah. There's a lot of phonetical significance to them, these questions. Okay. Shabtai, Shabtai. Right? If you want to name your child Shabtai, you have to know that you're not supposed to put an aleph in the, according to Tosis, in his name. Okay. Let's continue. So here, of course, just to make a quick comment, and that is, what is the relationship between hediotos and shemos she'enim nivakim? Is it the same kind of chisaron or not? The Gemara says here that you can equate a situation of our kos b'shemos mufakim b'shemos she'enim nivakim with hediotos b'shemos mufakim. Right. In the sense that both are possible, or in the sense that it's a similar problem? That's question number one. Question number two is, does hediotos have any impact whatsoever on Gittin v'kiddush, on Gittin v'shichor? Gittin v'shichor, we have the view that even our kos is no good. So is hediotos any different than our kos? Which is another way of saying, repeating the previous question in a way, if you have hediotos, b'shemos, mubakin, would there, be'edim esira, would there be a problem? If you have Edim Asira and Shemus Mufakim, Arkaos, so that works. Because there's no problem of Motor Velozim and Mizuv Mitocha. But if you have Edim Asira and Shemus Mufakim, not Barkaos, but Ben Hadiotos, would that be a problem or not? So Tosus here, Diramasko, Liflo, Velusni, Bidida, you know, considers that maybe it would. Read it just very quickly, Dani. Go ahead. Yeah. So it'll just be like kind of an extended gzera. Atu. Go ahead. Afen misira.
Afen misira. Dilma also has to go in misira to their clothes.
So basically, Tosis doesn't have really their heart into it. But basically, they're saying if there is such a din that Shemos Mufakim and Eidei Mesira, right, are going to be a problem,
and
Yotos, what?
It would only be
Xera. It wouldn't be, and it would be a gzera atu, the, you know, getting mixed up with the other. And that lahalacha, he thinks in the sugya, it's really not even true. Right? So there's no difference between hediotos and arkaos when it comes to gittin v'shichor, according to Tosis. Correct? The Ramban disagrees. Ramban insists that it's not true. And that hediotos, you can't rely even on edim asira v'shemos mufakim. Because edim asira won't be careful to check into the you know, the details of the get like they would in a arkos, and therefore hediotos make a difference even shemus mufakim made in asira, even in shichur and get. That's the shita of the Rambat. The Tosis Rid here has an interesting comment. He also holds this way that hediotos, even the shemus mufakim beget, are no good. But for a different reason. That is for the chashash of, anybody see it? Yishlomer mishum get me'usa. Now, b'shil m'sichtin get me'usa b'ovek kachavim pasal b'Yisrael kasha. So for talking about hediotos and not our kosh, hilkach bar kosh ol ovek kachavim v'lo chashidi l'kabel shochad v'lo avdi el adina, right, v'lo ma'asi agita v'lo daini. Right, hadin shadunu chachmi yisrael ksheirim v'leik lemechus l'get musa. But But hadyotos the chashidi lekabel shochta v'lo avdi dina v'kofa legarish v'lo haskabas chach miYisrael pasul dilma meusahu v'shum gzera zu ein psulin kol gitan nanasa b'fneim, even if it's shemos mubakim de'ena mesiv. So that's the Tosas Rid's, in a way it's an extension of the idea of the Ramban. The Ri'ah is also in Shulchan Gibarim has a similar question, but not in terms of get Musa, but problem of Ziyuf and other issues. All this becomes heightened in the context of Hedyotos. So there happens to be an interesting Machlokas HaRishonim, whether or not Hedyotos, Edim Mesira, Shemos Mepakim, is a problem, an additional problem or not, and if it is an additional problem, what is that additional problem? Okay, let's continue. Okay, Tanya, let's finish up the... Why is the Mokum Shisho Kosmin a psul? Because we're worried that, right, exactly. In other words, if it's Ein Yisrael Kosmin, so then it's like Shane was Mavakin. And if Yisrael are Chosmin, you just don't know which, then you might rely on them, and then it becomes a problem of Zuyap Mitoka. Correct. Then the Gemara says... Okay. Okay. Ravina Savar?
Ravina Savar, actually, Bethnus Piyasa Darinoi, Amalei Rakham Erkos Nash. Amarava...
Okay, this is of course a very important Gemara. We'll have to we'll be able, if we don't get to finish it now, we'll pick it up on the first day back. This is a Gemara that we've seen already, and this goes to the question of whether or not Shtar Ba'arkos and Shtar Behedyotos work as Shtare Milva, and do they work in particular for Nechasim Mishubadim? If they don't work for the Chasim Shabbatim, what about even Shtar Chabiyadim I bought? Okay? So that's going to be an important question. There's three issues to consider in the context of Milva. Number one, do they establish the Milva itself? In other words, if there's a Kfira, right, Lo Lavisi, does this Shtar of Parsa, is it effective for that? Right? Secondly, Shtar Chabiyadim I bought, Paraiti. And thirdly, what about Nechasim Shabbatim? So the Gemara here says that Hai Shtar Parsa the Masur Nehav, if you have Edim Mesira in the Shtar Parsa, there's no Gviya Menechasim Mishubadim, just Nechasim Becharim. The problem here, again, we'll try to pin down the Shitos, but the problem is as follows. In general, Edim Mesira, there is Gviya Menechasim Mishubadim. Is it? Yeah? Exactly. That depends how you read the Mishnah, as we already know. How do you read the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph? Right. Simple reading of the Mishnah is, Michael, that?
I guess the simple reading to me was that it applies to all
that there's Gviyim and Nechasim Shabbatim. Right? Rabbi Halachas is Gviyim and Nechasim Shabbatim. But we know that it depends on whether the case of the Mishnah is talking about Ksuva, right? Gittin and Ksuva, or it's talking about Shtari Milva. And that depends on the two Girsos in the Gemara in Bava Basra, right? In the end of Bava Basra, Kufayin, Bava Medalev, Mishas Ksiva, or Mishas Ksuva. And that tells us here and give a little bit base, and the Rajbab and the whole discussion of that. So depending on what position you take on that Machlokas or Rishonim, that affects how you read this Gemara. Because Shtar Beini Mesira alone, if it's Gova Menachasim Mishubadim, then you have to explain why Shtar Parsa is worse. Is it worse because of Modra Belazar Bemezuyah Mitocho? Right? On the other hand, there is a view in the Rishonim that Parsa just means what? One day in the rush. Parsa here means not Nichtam Ayidei Parsiim, but betar beloshon parsi. But the chasima, there is no chasima. That's one view in the Rosh. So then it's that's gufa what the Gemara is talking about. That ede mesira, there's no gviya minchasim mishibadim. You would be motivated to accept that interpretation of the Rosh for one of two reasons. If you hold generally that Eidim Asira is not Govim Menachasim Meshubadim, or, Jason, if you felt that even if it is, but there's a problem of Modar Abelazar, Bimizuyaf Mitocha, even in the case of Shtar Milva. So then you would have to interpret that we're talking about a case of what? Of no Eidim at all. That Shtar Parsa just means written in a language of Persia. Okay. Most Rishonim don't interpret that way, right? Which means that they assume that Motor Blazer Mizuf Mitocho is not going to be a problem in Gviya Mibnei Chori, right? And they're also assuming that somehow this is compatible with Gviya Menachasim Shubadim of a regular Shtar Beit Mesira. Meaning, the chasima of Parsiim leinyan shibudim is worse, even though leinyan b'nei chorim it's not mezuyif mitocha. Right? I'm just trying to follow through what the third shita is, that shtare parsa here is the equivalent of actual arkos. It's not even hedyotos. But maybe generally arkos, there's no gviya menachasim mishubadim. That's a big machlokas over shonim. Hopefully we'll get back to that in a couple of minutes. Shtar be'arkos, which works. So we say Shtar Raya works. We'll discuss that soon. Shtar Kinyan doesn't work. Shtar Mecher, when it's a Shtar Raya, works. Shtar Matana, when it's a Shtar Kinyan, doesn't work. What about Shtare Milva? Our Gemara doesn't speak about Shtare Milva one way or another. The Gemara in Daf Yates Amud Beis quotes Rav Papa, who does seem to say that Shtare Arkos, there is Gviya Menachasim Mishubadim. But other Rishonim have the Girsa on the Testament days, that it's only been B'nei Chori. And they have to coordinate Hashtari Parsa here with Rav Papa there. So the Rambam, for example, Dani, holds what? There's Gviya Menachasim Mishubadim in Arkos or not?
With
Eidim Asira. Yeah, because there's no problem of Motor Blazim Zuyf Mitocha. That's the one you were mentioning before, Chav Zayin Beis. Without any Masira?
If you fill certain conditions.
Nechasim Shabbatim? Kviyim Nechasim Shabbatim? Shtar Milva Barkos?
No.
For the Rambam? No. Right? Chav Zayin Aleph says no. However, the Rambam's not sure whether there's no, whether it's Chaspa B'Alma, right? Rambam has two deyas. Is a shtar milva bar kos chaspa bialma, or are you gova mibnei chorim? But you're certainly not gova minachasa mishubadim. That's shita saram. Anybody have language? You can just get it open. We'll need it in a minute anyway. I'll hold off reading it for another minute, but we'll just make sure you have access to it. Who disagrees with Rambam? Which Rishonim? Ramban, Rajba, the Rush, Ran, most Rishonim. Including Rashi as well. Rashi here too. Right? Most have shown him the opinion that Shtar Milva Ba'arkos is Govim in a Chasim Mishubadim. So you have three Shitas. It's Chasma B'Alma. Then the Raida tries to explain why it's Chasma B'Alma. Right? He has his own explanation. We'll get to in a minute. Or it's the other extreme. It's Govim Afilim in Chasim Mishubadim B'li Eidei Mesira. I'm talking about, right? Or it's Govim B'nei Chori and not Mi Mishubadim. That's if you have the Girsa on your Testament base and you think that Shtari Parsa and Shtar Barkos is one and the same. Okay. As far as Shtari Parsa, as I just mentioned, that has to be coordinated also with Eidei Mesira itself. The Tosfos Rid here has an interesting comment. Again, we'll get back to it in a couple of minutes. Tosfos Rid says, well, if you have Eidei Mesira and Shtari Parsa, so why do we care that there's a Shtar at all? Once you have Eidei Mesira, we know that there was a halva. So once you know there's a halva, either way, there's no gviyah minachasim mishubadim. It's only mivnei chari. So if there's no gviyah minachasim mishubadim, so then why do we need the shtar? Why not just say there's eidim mesira, there's eidim salpeh? That's Tosfos Reads question, right, David? What's his answer? Well, everybody should know this Tosfos Reads because we saw it when we did Ksav Yad. This is the same. This is the Tosfos Reads. Sam? Exactly. The answer is, he says, there's a huge nafkamina between saying that the eidim mesira are just eidim salpeh, or the eidim mesira, even in shtar parsa lidin bnei chorin, are a shtar. What's the nafkamina? Shtar chabiyadi, my boy. And he quotes right here, he says, and this would confirm my view in Bava Basra Daf Mem Amud Aleph, which is that when it comes to Ksav Yad, even though there's no Gviyah in the Chasim and Shubadim, there is Gviyah Mibnei Chori B'Torah Shtar, meaning Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, will apply. Okay, you know, just the range of the sheet, though, so we're going to get. Hopefully we'll have a few minutes to discuss them more fully. But just in terms of reading the Gemara, you should just be aware, Shtar Bar Kos is a huge issue. Range of Shitas. And how you read this Gemara about Shtar Parsa, the Masr and Nehele, about Yisrael Yisrael, is important for Eidim Mesira, Karsi, Gviyah, Menachos, and Shabbatim. It's important for Motor Blazer, Mezuyah, Mitocho. And it's important for this question of Arkos, and Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, etc. Okay, let's just finish up the Gemara quickly. Go ahead. Avala Yada Lemikra. Yeah. So this is one of the Gemaras about Kala, and we'll have to see the extent of that. Kala means there's something wrong with the Shtar, or the Shtar is perfect, but there's an extraneous kala problem. So we'll talk about that. Okay, Rish Lakish. Bamine Rish Lakish from Yochanan. Bamine
Rish Lakish. Bamine Rish Lakish from Yochanan. Aid him at some of the good. And supposed to show us
all
the Jacobim. Mamma. Amale, Bogolia, Deno, Ella, Lucus, the Lus.
Yeah.
Rishan. The Dafka, Lucus, the Lus, the Lushkiti. You saw the Master Masayu. I was Hosa, meaning the Shkiti, saw the Master Masayu.
Right. There are Jewish names and there are not so Jewish names. Yeah. Okay. Okay, very good. So now let's go back and talk about, break down some of these things in a little more. In a little more detail. Okay, so let's start with the problem of let's start with the problem of Arkos. Okay. There's much to talk about in Arkos, so let's talk about that first. So, what is the status of non-Jewish witnesses? That obviously is partially, at least, the issue of Arkos. The second issue in Arkos is Arkos as an institution. An official court system, non-Jewish court system, does that have any kind of impact? So the Gemara says on the Fudim and Beis, as we just read, that Lav B'nei Krisis was the reason for Gittin and Shichror being ineffective in our coast. We just don't know what exactly that means. The reason that it works in Shtar Mecher Shal Ra'aya, which is the other extreme, it's also provided in the Gemara, right? Lomari nafshai. And we're not sure whether that's Rabbanan Daraisa. We're not sure whether that is a full-fledged shtar or not. And in between, we know it doesn't work for shtar kinyan and it's chaspa bialma. And in that context, especially, we know there's also debate about motor blazer b'mezuyaf mitocho, whether it applies. Okay. What the Gemara doesn't address, in addition to all the other confusions, as we just discussed, is Shtar Milva. Then you have to work out Tess Omid Aleph, Shtari Parsa, with Yud Tess Omid Beis. And it also doesn't address a whole series of other cases, as I mentioned, using the Rambam, Shtari Pshara, Shtari Mechila, Shtari Hoda'a. None of these cases are explicitly addressed in the Gemara. Okay. Now, so let's start with the question, are non-Jews k'sherim or p'sulim leidos? So what positions do we know about that? Donnie?
Postal single account says no. Post
okay.
Rashi here says yes.
Does Rashi here actually say it?
Not that I saw.
Not implied, even? You mean they made it up?
They didn't do that.
What?
They didn't do that. Or maybe it's better to bring the dying
out. Oh, really? Wow, okay. I thought it was actually amazing. I always thought it was amazing that Tosas here didn't mention. The Tosa Rosh does, right? Tosa Bava Kama, you're correct, and Pechesam and Aleph does. What's it based on, Michael? Yeah. I mean, the simple reading of Rashi here is that the only reason that they're excluded from Gittin and Shichror is because La B'nei Krisus Ninu, but they are Bechlal Dinin of B'nei Noach, and therefore they are bona fide Aden when it comes to Shari Raya. I mean, that's, I think that's a simple reading of Rashi. Tosa Rosh tells Bava Kama understood it this way. If this is the case, what do you do with the Gemara and Bava Kama that bothered them? The Gemara in Daf Pei Ches, where the Gemara speaks about Eved being Pasul Leidus. Right? Assuming they're right in Rashi, let's say. And even if it isn't Rashi, let's say. Are there any other Rishonim more explicit about it? More explicit than Rashi. I agree it isn't explicit, but.
The Mordechai Kutta.
Correct.
And
they're explicit. What do they say?
They said that really they're kosher, except that we would assume they're kazlanim. But here we know they're not kazlanim, so then they're kosher.
The only problem for non-Jews being Edom is a chashash sheker problem, right? But they're not psulim as chashash sheker. They just is a chashash sheker. Why is there a chashash sheker? You don't have a chashash sheker for Yisrael. What do you think about that? It's an umdana, or it's a halacha. What?
You don't mind our
So you say it's more like a well, it's more like an umdana then. I mean, our experience has taught us that you just can't trust them, all things being equal, or that they have a trust problem. It's possible. We're not sure. I personally think that that's not the idea. The idea is, let's say like you had a what? I think Kedushas Yisrael is the basis for Kedushas Kashrus. That's what I think. Now, let's say you had a utopian kind of society and you grew people in an environment of morality and ethics. So that would be enough. I'm not so sure. Or maybe that would be an opening on the other direction. That would be a different point. But the point is, I don't think I agree with you. I think it's a question of Kedushas Yisrael. I've mentioned this in the past that I think that the whole dialectic in Hilchos Eidos of having, all these little plugs, and whether it's Karov, assuming that Karov has something to do with Chashash Sheker or other such things, is all a way of compensating for the remarkable license of Chetzkas Kashrus. In other words, every Jew walks into court, all things being equal. I'm not talking about Choshen, the Din Barumba, and the Dayan's, extra license, but all things being equal, any Jew, Ploni, Aloni, who walks into court has the equivalent Cheskes Kashrus as Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Kufnun Tes, Moshe, the Aaron, Shnei Achenheim, right? Zeres HaMelech. Right? The Gemara is bothered by this problem. We'll see in a minute. Rishonim are bothered in our sugya about this problem. Right? Moshe and Aaron are less than non-Jews, about which we say Lamari Navshayu. We'll get that in just a second. Right. So the Gemara says, Xeris HaMelech, what can you do? But if Ploni Almoni walks in, it's not just that. Ploni Almoni walks in, if Ploni Almoni and his cohort, walk into court and they, testify against, Moshe Rabbeinu, or Moshe Rabbeinu, together, not with Aaron, but some other individual, Yehoshua, testifying. Then Ploni Almoni and his cohort come in, and they're Makhish or they're Mazim. And again, unless the Dayan smells something wrong per se, you know, that's, he has certain rights in Din Meruma. But that's a different issue. All things being equal, right? It's like total egalitarian idea here. Every Jew has equal cheskes kashrus. That's incredible, incredible kula. So the way that you compensate for that, right, is to build in and reinforce the protections. So whether it's you know, whatever they are, edish yachal azima and asra and you know drisha v'chakira and all sorts of things. So you have this, you know, constant dialectic between unbelievable license and flexibility and trust, presumption of trust, and at the same time you have to balance it to make an efficient system by building in safeguards. Yeah.
Written with Kedusha Sisra'ah perspective on the Latin Nemanis Rahum, is possible in isolation, but I wouldn't say that it's possible within Rabbeinu Yakar. Well, because he's saying that if there, you know, there's a Hazaka that they are shared.
No, so that's the point.
No, I'm saying, so you'd have to say, but Ariel.
No, I don't think so at all. What I'm saying is you can overcome, you know, this is what I'm saying is, why isn't there a presumption? The question I'm asking is not, you know, is it overcomable or not? What I'm asking is, why isn't there, in the case of Yisrael, why isn't there such a presumption? I can't prove that he's wrong. I'm just saying the perspective that I'm putting forward is not in any way contradicted by Rabbeinu Yakar. The presumption in the case of non-Jews is that chashidi. And therefore you have to say, lomari nafshayu, you know, when there's a kesef or a zuz, you know, in front of them, and that's the difference between hadiotos and arkos. That all that implies that there's a built-in chashad. I'm just saying there's a built-in chashad because experience teaches us. I'm saying, why isn't there a built-in chashad for Yisrael? Because experience teaches us that Yisrael are more ethical and they're rachmanim b'nei rachmanim, and you know, non-Jews are more achzari, or they're code, as you say, they don't grow up in a certain environment, and therefore it's not conducive to, you know, to project across the board. Obviously there are, you know, we know there are many unethical Jews, unfortunately, and there are many, you know, exceptionally ethical non-Jews, happily. But we're talking about across the board in terms of presumption. Right? So one way to look at it is, yeah, that's what experience teaches. Either it's experience or it is the impact of living in a certain kind of environment, right? Which I think is even a better way to say it. Or the third way, which is what I'm pushing right now, which is there's a din of cheskes kashrus when it comes to Yisrael, and there's no din of cheskes kashrus when it comes to a non-Jew. That's not discriminatory, it's not a bad. We're not saying that the environment doesn't inherently produce it, we're not saying it's experience, we're just saying this is an exceptional license to begin with. As far as that is concerned, I'm saying it's part of a bigger package. Now, either way, if you start off, whether it is because there's no cheskes kashrus, and therefore we're suspicious of everybody, or because of experience, or because you don't think the, you know, framework is conducive, or maybe it's dafka not conducive. Can it be overcome by things like lamari nafshayu and chazaka and so on? The answer is 100%. That's all I need for a Rabbeinu Yakar.
Maybe it should just be more clear. Maybe the Rabbeinu Yakar is presented in the Agos Eshri, but the Rabbeinu Yakar is presented in the Mordechai.
Yeah.
Because the issue isn't so much shakranim, but that's lanim. That was more my focus. I don't think,
okay,
that logic suggests a much more like Ariel.
Maybe, but I think there would be a problem of shakranim, even if there wasn't an experience, let's say, of gazlanim. But I'm not so sure. Yeah.
In terms of Rebbe's overall point about cheskes kashrus, and marvelous, but I mean, isn't there a certain sense of necessity and lack of alternative? I mean, in terms of that.
Could be. I mean, almost like again, edecho nevim b'yisurim esque, you know, kind of thing. Well, you know, we have to have a society, you know, which, you know, in which you can trust people.
Right.
Could be. It could be. But again, one would hope that all of these elements, again, they're not mutually exclusive. We believe that inherently, you know, all people, let's say, you know, want to do the right thing. We certainly believe that to be so in the context of Kedushas Yisrael. We also believe that the society and the framework promotes that. And in addition to that, you know, it's not a pipe dream, so then there's a halacha And also because we want that result and the trust that comes with it, so there's a halacha of Geskes Kashrus. I don't think these things are mutually exclusive. But I'm just trying to add, I think that there's a halachic component that has to do with what you're saying, you know, how the system will work better that way, A, and what I'm saying, which is, you know, by the nature of Kedushas Yisrael, this has to be a component. Okay. Either way, this is the basic idea. So for Rashi, let's assume for the moment, the Hagos Ashri, the Arben Yakar, Sefer HaChepetz, some of the others, and Chachmi Ashkenaz, non-Jews are not inherently possibly Eidos, just have to overcome this suspicion. As we said now, this suspicion could be based on experience, it could be based on, you know, conduciveness of the framework, or it could be that Yisrael would also be suspect if it wasn't for the two elements that I'm suggesting and Michael's suggesting, which overlap. Either way, it doesn't really change the picture here, I just happen to think that it's so, but non-Jews are inherently not mufka mi'edus. Aye, but the Gemara Bava Kama makes it clear that Eved is mufka mi'edus. Right? Elliot, so what do you think about that? Which is Tosis's Raya here, and above a comma. After all, if the Eved, who has Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael, is mufka mi'edus, then Kol Shekein, the non-Jew, is. What's the answer to that?
Well, I mean, maybe totally on how you view Akva in reference to Rashi says Akva is the Isser to Krogan. So that the lack of Akva is Isser. Well, I think that exists by Akva.
Right? Either whether it's Akva or not.
Is there Isser also? Is there?
No. Not really. I don't know if that's the main point, but I think you are touching on something. We say, you know, in, you know, Akam in Lachayas, Evan even more so in Lachayas, which I think is what we're referring to. But I think it's an example of a bigger issue. Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's not clear from the Mark Maskana Akar being the Makar from the Sulaymas.
What the Makar is.
Right. Okay. The Mara starts off saying that Akwa is the Makar for the Chil in Zombies by an Evan.
Right.
The Gemara says, shouldn't Eved be a bar Eidos based on Akva? The Gemara is both of that because of a Sarah Shaveh based on Isha and Katan, not Isha, sorry, Isha and Katan, which is a Duke Mitzvos.
Right.
And therefore, and Tos there on the Gemara seems to project Akva even to Maskara somewhat, based on this question from Wallah and Isha, because I understand the Gemara's habit, you know, because if you think Wallah would be actually, why would Akva get there? If not, then why isn't the Sarah Shaveh any better? But it's not clear from the Gemara if Akva is an amazing Maskara.
Okay. Without going into so much detail, what would you say? Just you could then break it down afterwards in terms of why it's so. But what's the main point to make here, Eliezer? For Rashi, for the Mordechai, for those Rishonim, any of these Rishonim. What are you going to? In the end of the day, we know that Eved is mufka mi'edus. There's nothing you could do about Eved to be machshir le'edus. The answer is exactly the opposite of Tosis' Sa'ara. By Tosis assuming that Eved is Mufka, then Akum Kol Shekein, because Tosis is assuming that the component in Eved which excludes him is the fact that he's not yet fully Yisrael, namely it's his Tzad Nachri, which is the Posel. But Lu Yitzuyer, it's not the Tzad Nachri, it's the shame Eved, which is the Posel. Well, Nachri doesn't have a shame Eved. And especially in light of what I said the other day, which is that, you know, this idea of Shem Eved, you know, being something, you know, more extraneous isn't necessarily true. I think it's certainly not true for the Rambam. Sometimes the Shem Eved is also responsible for a lack of Kedusha and status, certainly so. And we do find that Eved is sometimes worse than a non-Jew, with regard to all sorts of halachos, including possibly the issues of yichus that you were talking about, who exactly is compared to behema, other such things, you know. Again, we won't go into detail right now. But the shame Eved, as a pagam in Kedushas Yisrael, is sometimes rivaling or worse in some cases, or if it isn't an issue of Kedusha as a psul, then the shame Nachri. It isn't Nachrius Shabo, or the Miktas Nachrius Shabo Shenishar, which is the Posel, it's the Shem Eved. Yeah.
I thought similar to this, but I think based towards the other direction, based on what we discussed also by Eved, that because Eved has somewhat already close two Kedushas Yisrael, so you could view some of the issues in the Balakamas and Sronos, whereas an Akum never even comes in the picture, so the fact that he's not, let's say, Shaykh Mitzvah Sorot or the Akhmos, those are not. Those are
okay,
not
that's an interesting, that's a parallel but opposite view. Jason, I think that has merit. That again, that the fact that that Eved is, you know, close, you know, but no cigar, so essentially his remaining Kisronos are magnified, whereas the issues of Achva, etc., aren't going to be chisaron for a non-Jew. His kashrus is more elemental. That will help us with another point in a minute with the Moshe B'Aaron issue, not for Rashi and the Mordechai the Imei, but for the Bali Tosis, which we'll get to, back to in a couple of minutes. So I think it's merit to that point. Yeah.
You still have to contend with the Achad Mitzvah point. So either you have to, I mean, if the Bakr is Achad Mitzvah, so you have to say that that's in the end where we, like the same design, in the end that isn't actually the Bakr of the Makkah or.
Well, the Rama has, you know, Rama quotes a different Pasuk, a different Bakr, which
right.
I want to get to, but I think it's consistent with the Rama's view, as I was saying it before, as part of that picture, although. Time, so we didn't see it that way, but yeah.
Or you have to say that something I think similar to what Jason's saying, which is that it's which I don't think is after, but something that's common. You need to say something like that after Mitzvah refers to somebody who's somewhat in Parsha, so he has to be after the Mitzvah, you know, in a sense, and then said, well, in a full sense, meaning the Sa'at Avdus, which is that he has certain Mitzvah for him. That becomes a problem, whereas if something...
The fact, I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, but that's something that's necessary to if you just say that it's just a question that's not obvious...
Well, no, you might say Achav B'Mitzvos is exactly the point, namely that's the pagam, or that's the lack of Kedushas Yisrael. That he should be, in other words...
I'm certainly not
Jason, I'm saying there are still two opposite ways to say this. The way I'm saying it is that his... you know, in one sense he's closer in terms of, you know, technical conditions he's strong, but in another sense he's further because the Tzad Eved Shabbat is also a Pagam and a Stira in terms of being a Ach, you know, Gomor. And what Jason's saying is that he's definitely closer, but because he's closer, these other categories are relevant to him and therefore they become an obstacle. But it's a nuance, and for our purposes today it doesn't really matter. But what I'm saying is, either way you could explain, as happens, the Rambam moves away from that makar. Rambam has almost a different makar for every single psul avis. Rambam has his own psukim, his own drashos, although I think they're totally consistent with what he wants to accomplish. But I just think that is a way to interpret lack of, I agree with you, I think it's a way of interpreting lack of achva, but I still think there are two opposite ways to do that. One is that avdus, like nachrius, just different from Nachrius, is sometimes a stira to certain requirements or definitions of Kedushas Yisrael, and in its own right, nothing to do with the Nachrius aspect of it. Or, as we say, that you know, the standards for somebody whose potential and status is more proximate is going to be Ma'akim, which I think is what you were trying to say. I don't think there's such a big difference in the positions. Okay, that's a very important concept, not for now, beyond that. Now, if you take the view of, let's say, Rashi and the Mordechai, let's continue with this just for a minute. So what, yeah?
I just don't understand why we can't say for Rashi and the Mordechai that they reject another one of Tosis' assumptions in terms of this big assumption about the directionality of Lala Misha.
I mean, Stamet says it's like Isha. Well, I think
Tosis
is
assuming that Lola Misha is a very unidirectional idea.
Right. I mean, again, it depends. You know, I just want to go into this now, but it depends on why you view, you know, Avadim, why you view Nashim as being excluded from Eidos. The more you look at it in terms of a more practical kind of a problem, namely that if there's no such thing, it's just. There's no such thing in Eidos as voluntary Eidos. If you're going to be an Eid, then you're also always going to be Mechuyev to come to court. Right? That's based on the Chiyuv of Shavuos Eidos, or what underlies Shavuos Eidos, Vuhu Eid. And if women are not going to be obligated to come to court, then they're also going to be Psulim Leidos. If it's that kind of an argument or an issue, it's hard to apply that Lala Isha. And the Gemara itself doesn't really do that, but it's possible. It's nekebo zachros, you know, kind of a thing, which is, you know, you don't normally apply that part of it to Eved.
The Rav said, I was interested, the Rav said it was a shame Eved issue, that in Eved it has a yira sa'adon in certain areas, and that's posel in all areas in terms of his ability to give Eved.
Where did he say that?
This is in the first essay on the festival.
Yeah, it's more of a...
I
don't know whether it's the fear of... I'll try
to
look
at
it. No, from a Hashkava point of view, I understand that. In a low plug way, kind of way. But I don't think it's so practical. I think it's really... For the Rambam, it doesn't sound that way to me. It sounds like it's a fundamental psul of some sort. I think it's consistent with the Rambam's view, as I said before, that Eved has almost complete Kedushas Yisrael, but the Shame Eved itself is just a very powerful force. Okay. Now, the question is... to go forward, Rashi. The Rashi has this connection to Bnei Noach here. So first we should note there's a problem in Rashi. What's the problem in Rashi? Again, the diuk in Rashi was that he, on Daf Tesumid Beis, he tells us this halacha, Aval al-dinim nitztavu Bnei Noach. Right? If he had stopped there, that would be fine. The problem is that Rashi also links it up with what? With? No. Dina de Machus Adina. Right? If the truth is, if you look at the Tosas Rid, formulates like Rashi, but without the Dina de Machus Adina part. This idea that Nitztavu Bedinim, so let me just make two comments about it. Number one, Nitztavu Bedinim have anything to do with this halacha? So that part depends on the famous argument, what is Dinim? David, you want to say?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the Ramban's view, as we know in Parshas Vayishlach, is that Dinim is the parallel, or as the Ramban understands it, this is not for now, not only the parallel, but the actual substance of Choshen Mishpat. And it applies to non-Jews. So then, quoting Nitztavu Bedinim isn't so bad, especially for the Ramah's reading of the Ramban. But at least, even in general, if the idea is, you know, setting up this kind of a civil law structure, a detailed one, as the Ramban describes it, that's fine. According to the Rambam, David, who says... Yeah, there is no din of dinin. Doesn't mean set up a legal system. It means set up a structure to enforce the other six mitzvos. That's the Rambam Shita and Hilchos Melachim, part of the Shechem, Dina, Yaakov, Bnei Yaakov, Shimon Belevi debate. Right? So the Rambam's view is that dinin has nothing, if you take the Rambam's view of dinin, it has nothing to do with our sugya. Okay. So Rashi obviously would work much better if a Ramban, and even better, a Ramah kind of Ramban idea. But what is the connection to Dina de Malchusa Dina? One could have said that this has nothing to do with Dina de Malchusa Dina. Tosfos Rid, as I mentioned, certainly separates it from Dina de Malchusa Dina. Is Rashi here suggesting, implicitly, yeah?
Can you say it has to do with just taking out of the separate problem of the Torah?
The separate problem of?
The Torah, whatever thing you're talking about.
You mean the specific thing?
Yeah, whatever institution you're talking about, you have to be Torah. And Rashi, he says it.
What do you mean Betorah? So what's the problem? What Betorah are you missing here?
No, without Nistavu Bedini, you wouldn't have been Betorah, Kosh HaMishpat.
Oh, so I'm saying, is the Ikar because of Dina Machus Adina, or is the Ikar because of Nistavu Bedini? Oh, really? So Dina Machus Adina, but because of Nistavu Bedini. I mean, otherwise, well, if you wanted to say that, that would take some of the punch away from Rashi. Maybe Donnie would be right, the diuk of Tosis wouldn't be so good, because it's really based on Dina Machus Adina. So but if you want to interpret that way, I think that's obviously one of the two. That's which of these is Ikar, which is Tafel. So if you want to interpret that way, so I think what you'd have to say is as follows. Dina Machus Adina is not going to allow you to violate Din Torah. right? Dina Malchus Adina is a we normally see as a kind of neutral, you know, instrument, right? And you have to, you know, the laws of the land, you have to respect them. Again, whatever the basis of Dina Malchus Adina is, and that's Machlokas Rishonim, mostly found in the discussion of the Sugya Bava Basra, towards the end of Ches Sabatim, and Daladun Hay. But whatever it is, no one will ever say Dina Malchus Adina in violation of Isurin. Right? Mostly where there's an overlap or neutrality, etc. So the point is, because in Itztava Bedinim, in general, so Dina de Malchus Adina can apply here. It isn't viewed as some sort of a clash. That's one way to look at it. I'm not sure if that's what you meant. No. Okay. The other way I would look at it, and maybe this is what you meant, now you'll tell me what you meant, is to say the other way. Maybe this is a basis for the obligation of Dina de Malchus Adina in general. The fact that non-Jews are basically ksherim le'edus, because they're nitztavu bedinim, that is the basis for there being a dina d'malchus adina. Because otherwise, we would have said that non-Jewish civil law would be as problematic as the notion of a non-Jewish, you know, intervention in the area of Isurin, a non-Jewish Yaradeya. Right, that's inconceivable. That wouldn't be Dina D'Malchus Adina. But the very fact that Nitztavu Bedinim, right, which establishes that the gap between Jewish and non-Jewish life, right, isn't as great. I always argue that it's also greater, meaning because of the overlap, therefore the differences are even more accentuated. But that aside for the moment, that doesn't, it's not mutually exclusive to what I'm saying right now. But what Rashi is trying to explain is how there can be Dina de Malchus Adina in general. Okay, now I'll give you one more chance.
I don't want to take a comment.
What? Okay. So you'll tell me later then. But either way, there's a problem here. These are our two suggestions, but there is a problem in Rashi. Just be aware of it. What is the interrelationship between these two factors, Dina de Malchus Adina on the one hand, and Dinin on the other? You would think that either one alone would work. It's hard to understand what the overlap is. I'm making two suggestions about what that overlap is about. Okay. The Hagos HaShri, or Mordechai combination, also with this, try to answer the Krovim question. Right, the Krovim question is, if Lo Mari Nafshayu is the basis for believing non-Jews in the context of Eidos, so Moshe V'Aaron are a lot more reliable than any Arkos you'll ever have. So if Lo Mari Nafshayu is per se a Hechsher, a reason to allow Eidos, so why are Krovim Psulim? That's the question. According to the Mordechai, right, no question, because there's something called the psul kurva. That's exactly the point. It may be Xeris HaMelech, but it's a psul. The idea in non-Jews is that there is no psul gabra at all. There's only a chashash sheker. Again, for Ariel's reason, for my reason, it doesn't really matter. For Michael's reason, which is part of my reason, it could be that all three are true, right? It doesn't really make a difference. The point is that that part of it is overcomable. That's what the Lamari Nafshayu is. But you have a foundation to work with because there's Kashas Agavra. Krovim are Psulim. Okay. So Bartholomew and Malcolm are Ksherim Le'edus, but Moshe and Aaron together, let's make it clear, are Psulim Le'edus. And therefore, Mari Nafshayu, Lo Mari Nafshayu as a factor is irrelevant. The only thing is that if you take this view, this Rashi, Mordechai, Agos HaShri view, so then you have to deal with another very serious problem. One serious problem is the one we already dealt with, right? The problem of Evan. The second serious problem is, Rafi, the problem of? Josh? Ari?
Isha?
No. What do you mean, Isha? Get Isha?
They're saying Isha in terms of, you know, the Gemara does conclude that Isha is, she's not, you know, not getting mafkia from it, and yet the go along.
You're talking about Isha being Ksher Ledus?
Yeah.
No, leave that alone. That's a separate topic. That's not for now. What problem, Ariel? Chas v'bielma. Because if really there is kashrus, so when you say labnei krisus in the context of what, of gittin v'kiddushin, we understand that. Although we still have to explain it better, right? That's the contrast. They're nitzava bedinim and they're dafka mufka from ishus. But chasva bialma, why? We're talking about dine mominus. This is all part of nitzava bedinim according to Rashi. So what is the problem of chasva bialma? This is a very important question. So what's the answer to that question? Rafi? Say again? But he is a recognized ace according to Rashi. He's kosher le'avos. That's the problem. If he wasn't a kosher, if he wasn't an aid, we wouldn't be in this dilemma. If you took a different position, then I will get to that in a second. There's a group of Rishonim who do take that in-between position, and for them I think you'd be right. But it doesn't sound like Rashi and Agos Ashri Mordechai are saying that the quality of Eidos Akum is any less than Eidos Yisrael. Tovia.
Maybe the Xos, that is not tied in the...
So what did the Xos say?
That just has made comparison to Gifted, but the same reason it's not the Torah's Gifted, it's not the Torah's Kinyan Shtar.
He is the Torah's Kinyan.
Yeah, because the plus of Kinyan Shtar is only by Yisrael.
Ve'ekach HaSefer HaMikneh is said by Yisrael. So the Xos comes up. This is why this is a good way to end everything, because it brings us back to a lot of issues. The Xos basically said the equivalent of Labadei Krisus Ninhu, this is Samaches Aleph, the equivalent of Labadei Krisus Ninhu applies to Kinyan Shtar. And Akum is Mufka Mekinyan Shtar. Essentially, even before the Xos, the Tosa Rosh said it, right? But in a slightly different context. Tosa Rosh was trying to explain Shitas Tosas, actually. Which Shita Tosas? The difficulty in Tosas stuff. Tesum and Beis and Yudam and Beis, both. Tosas has an interesting Shita. Yeah? Arya? Goy seems to be Mufka Miksivas Shtar, not Gittin. Miksivas Shtar Mamon. Right, that is implicit in both the end of Tosas on Tesum and Beis and the end of Tosas on Yudam and Beis. And the question is, why? So the Pnei Yoshua denies it. He says, that Tosas means even if there was a psul, but there isn't a psul. Right? And the Maram in the back also says, where did this come from? Where's this idea that Sivas Akum, if you say, talking about Ged, of course. But if you're talking about a Shtar Bialma, there's no din of Maisik Sivas, there's no din of Chefzish, that's communication. Why is the Akum Mufka Miksivas Ashtar? Very strange. So the Nesivos, very famously, both in Torah's Gittin here, on Tesumid Beis, and in the Nesivos himself, in, I forget which one, Reish Mem Gimel, Reish Mem Dalid, says that Tosas thinks that there's a requirement, there's an issue of Shlichus in Ksivas Kol Shtaros, which is amazing. We'll see in a minute if there's even a din of Shlichus in Ksivas Haget. We still have to go through those Tosas. So the Nesivos basically is trying to explain this radical sheet of Tosas. But the Tosa Rosh has a line which he tries to explain it, and he says, because a goy cannot create a kinyan shtar or shtar, why not? Because he's not included in kinyan shtar himself, just like in B'nai Krisus. So one second. Hilkach, this is one in Yudim Beis. Avalein lomer de lahachi chashiv chasu b'yalma de mashmalei de masnisin de machshur eshtar matonik kamosha machshur eshtar shtaris midikayil b'hadei adadi v'im k'sher ma'filo ha'isa b'en k'siva b'en k'sima b'gayim. I mean, the problem is of chasu b'yalma because of the k'siva. Hilkach goyim she'enem b'toris kinyan shtar ein shtar k'sivas and mo'e liknos matana b'edim esira. Wow. Right? He quotes the Maram at the bottom here, I see. He quotes. The Maram says what's going on here. There's no din of Lishma here. Torah's Gittin's Shlichos. See if he quotes that. What he should have quoted also is the... Or maybe he does. No, I don't see it. He should have quoted the Xos. But anyways, the idea of the Xos and the earlier idea of the Tosas HaRosh is a very important idea. Kinyan Shtar isn't Stam a Kinyan. Anytime a non-Jew has Kinyanim, he needs to have the specific Kinyan. Is that the idea? And therefore he's Mufka Miksivas, or in this case, Mi Eidus, according to Rashi and Agos Ashri and Mordechai. That's the pshat. Or, I would just take it a step further, Kinyan Shtar in particular, as we know, is unique. Ein adam chosem al shtar shalot el al shtar shalot em gadol. Right, the Rambam's line in Perek Chavtes, Hilchos, Mechira. As we explained so much throughout the year, right, the idea of Kinyan Shtar is based on not just this Keftesh al shtar itself, but Kinyan Shtar, Das and Eschayim. It's a different kind of a Kinyan. That's what we spent much of the year trying to demonstrate and seeing permutations of this. So even if Akum is included in Kinyan, in Eidus, in Choshen Mishpat, he's Mufka from Kinyan Shtar, and therefore Chaspa V'Alma. It isn't just a Gzeres HaKosuv Eka Kasefer HaMikneh. This Gzeres HaKosuv is informed by the idea of the uniqueness of Kinyan Shtar. Now the Nesivas, Samech Ches, doesn't go that far, but in one respect, he says something equally or maybe more significant. The Rosh and the Tumim seem to say, who saw the Nesivas, Samech Ches? Eli, you saw it? Then?
So the Rosh and the Chad between Eid and Nesivas and the Nesivas?
It seems like the Rosh and the Tumim seems happy with it too.
Well,
initially doesn't like it. That what? That Eidim Nesira.
There's no problem. The number can be Eidim Nesira, but not Eidim Nesira.
Yeah. Now that's amazing. That's what I say. It pulls together a lot of issues. Can a non-Jew be Eidim Nesira on a Shtar Kinyan? Right.
So
why not? What's the difference between? Asks the Nesivas. What's the difference between Eidim Nesira and Eidim Chasima? If it's Chaspa B'Alma, it's Chaspa B'Alma for both. So what's the answer?
Basically says that when it comes to the Eid Nesira, so it's not exactly like it's Nesira the Shtar itself. He says the Pshat by Shtar, so you have the problem with the Ksavam, so she doesn't go with Yana and Sahab, or they go with him before. But he says, because of the Gzeres HaKosuv, the Sefer HaMikna, so it takes a Shtar Yisrael at the problem with the Ksavam.
Exactly.
When it comes to Eid Nesira, there's no problem with the Ksavam, so even though an Achri doesn't have the Gzeres HaKosuv, the Sefer HaMikna, it's still okay.
Yeah. So this is, of course, again, just something that, in light of everything that we've been discussing, is this terrific Nesivas. Right? The Nesivas isn't going as far as the Ksos in one respect. He's not saying Akum is Mufka from Kinyan Shtar. What he is saying is that he's Mufka from, one could say, Cheftashal Shtar. The Chiddush of Cheftashal Shtar, the way he formulates it and focuses on it, the special Chiddush HaTorah to avoid Mipim V'lom Piksavam by means of Shtar, that's limited to Yisrael. That doesn't apply to a non-Jew. I would just add and say, it's not just the Gzera. I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. That's a symptom, Mipim V'lom Piksavam. What's the solution to Mipim V'lom Piksavam? Das and Eschayiv. Cheftashal Shtar. Reish Lakish. All of that is excluded when it comes to a non-Jew. Let me just take it one step further for a second. By the way, this Nesivas is used to explain one of the phenomena that we mentioned before, which is there a din of Mod Rab Lazar b'mezuyef mitocho in Shar Shtaros b'edim Mesira? You have edim Mesira, you have Shemos or Chasimos Akum, in a Mupakim. So why not say Mod Rab Lazar b'mezuyef mitocho? We said the Rambam doesn't, Rambam and Rashi both seem to be problematic in this regard. Correct? So the Nesivas' answer to this question is exactly this point. Namely, what's the problem of Mezuyef Mitocho? Well, this is also part of the discussion. Tosis always explains, what's the problem of Mezuyef Mitocho? What? Asim Mitzachayim, meaning what? What does Asim Mitzachayim mean for Tosis? And Dal Ram Aleph, and he implies here too as well. You're going to use it as a raya when you're not allowed to. And as Tosis says in Dalet Amud Aleph, integrity requires that even if something is true, that the source of knowledge also be legal. So even though what is being conveyed here is certainly true no matter what, if it's conveyed according to illegal means, you can't use it. That's Tosan Dalet Amud Aleph. So what's the Lemis Machalayu of Rash of Tosas? That you'll use it as a raya. And you can't use it as a raya when you're pasul. Rashi, however, doesn't interpret that way. How does Rashi interpret the Lemis Machalayu? Tovia? No. That's the Rajba. Forget about that. That's what it's a Taraisa, but yeah. We're worried, Lemis Machalayu, that you'll use the Eide Chasima as Eide Mesira. Not that you'll use the Eide Chasima as a Raya, that there was a proper Mesira Bifnei Eide. But you'll use the Eide Chasima, they will function as Eide Mesira. That's the problem. Oh. Now, if that's the case, so what's the problem of Motor Velozim Zuif Mitoko? It's only going to be a problem when? When is it going to be a problem? When Eide Mesira are Psulin. But with Lu Yitzuyar, these people can't be Eide Chasima, but they could be Eide Mesira. Would there be a problem in Mezuyah Mitocho? Not according to Rashi. There would be according to Tosas. This is a fascinating question. So that's how some people explain that actually Rashi and Tosas are Lishitasa in a double way. I mean, Rashi and Tosas argue whether or not Modrob Lozer but Mezuyah Mitocho applies in Shar Shtaros, right? In the case of Akum. The question is, but we know it applies because of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So what's going on here? Right? The answer is, in theory, so again, the Kesef Mishnah said for the Rambam, Akum, Shar Shtaros, so many Gzeiras, let it go. Right? That's not so simple. So what do you say for Rashi? The answer is, number one, for Rashi, first point to make is that for Rashi, Akum are ksherim leidus min haTorah. For Tosas, they're psulim. We didn't discuss Tosas fully yet, but they're only ksherim midrabanan. So wherever they're not ksherim, they're really mezuyah mitocha. For Rashi, at a raya level at least, number one, they're ksherim. As far as the kinyan is concerned, so then you have to ask the second question. So according to Rashi, the problem wasn't them serving as Eide Mesira. The problem is that they can't even be Eide Raya. So they're Mufgoi Mi Raya. So you always have Eide Modra Belozer B'mezuyat Mitocho B'shar Shtaros B'Nachri. As long as they're no good, they're no good. The only question you could ask for Tosis, and this would be an important question, would be, well, if they're effective, the Raya, forget that. Pertosis, no question. Pertosis, you always have Modra Belozer B'mezuyat Mitocho B'shem Hashem U'Fakim. Lishitasam, based on how they understand Nachrin and how they understand the Gzeirah, you always have that problem. But for Rashi, since Nachrin are Ksherim, Laraya, right? So, number one, maybe now we can understand why Rashi doesn't interpret like Tosas. Again, Tosas says the problem of Zuid Mitoko is you'll use them as a Raya. But what's Tosas has a problem. What's the problem using them as a raya? They're telling the truth. The answer is, Tosas came up with this integrity idea, which I like very much, but that's what he came up with. So what about Rashi? The answer is two things. Number one, Rashi may not have liked the integrity idea. He liked integrity, but that this idea of when it's going to be true anyway, but the source is the wrong source, that's not enough of a reason for a psul, according to Rashi. Maybe that's point number one. Point number two, now this is an important question. According to Rashi, you have a Gant, and you're worried what? That the Shemos Nachrim are going to be used as a Raya, that there was a proper Eide Mesira, and so on. Can that work? Is that a Psul according to Rashi? This is a tricky, tricky question. After all, according to Rashi, non-Jews are ksherim l'raya. But here the raya is in Gittin. Are they ksherim l'raya in Gittin? That's an interesting question. I don't know. I think there's a two aspects of the question. One aspect of the question is a shtar raya of gittin, which is not a shtar kinyan, or the raya aspect of the shtar, separate from its kinyan, is it also subject to b'nei krisus? This is parallel to some other issues that we've seen. Can you have a pure shtar raya kiddushin? Hagos Mordechai, right? That the continuation of the whole Rabbeinu Avigdor issue and the Or Zeruah. Can you have a pure shtaraya l'kiddusha? And if so, is it a shtaraya or is it a shtar kinyan? Here you have this, essentially the same kind of question according to Rashi. If Edom are nemanim l'raya in Mamon, so what about in Kinyan? What about B'nai Krisus? And similarly, but it's less of an issue, right, when it comes to, so Chas v'Bialma, they're no good for shtar kinyan. But is there a problem them serving as a raya on the shtar kinyan? And that's already one madrega lower. Very possibly not. Moreover, this comes to the third point, and this is the Nesivus' point. So what is then the problem? So now we understand why Rashi never liked Asi l'mismach of Tosas. What is the problem? They're going to function as Eidim Nesiva. That's the problem. So now the question is, in Gitin the Kiddushin and Shichror, where they're psulim for that, that's a problem. But in Dini Mamanus, are they psulim to be Eidim Mesira for a Shtar Kinyan? The Sivas' answer is no. So then there's no Ruab Lazar, Mordab Lazar, Mizuv Mitocho anymore in Shar Shtaros. I'm not so sure it has to be that way, though. I mean, again, in a Shtar Kinyan, being a Raya in a Shtar Kinyan, what's the status? There's one other element. And it goes back again to the point of the Nesivus. What was the Nesivus really saying? Non-Jews, even if they're not Mufkoim Mikinyan Shtar, they're Mufkoim from Cheftashal Shtar, from Reish Lakish, from this whole idea. Great. Now, that explains Shtar Kinyan. And what about Shtar Raya? Also doesn't have a din of Reish Lakish. Okay, Mipim Blom Piksavam doesn't apply to Shtar Raya. Well, that's, as we know, that's a major machlokas arishonim. Let me put it this way. When we say that shtar is effective bar kos and that it works even daraisa, the cases that we know of are cases where the money changes hands in the presence of the bar kos people or the aided, right? That's the case of Lomari Nafshayu. And what if it didn't? In the parallel in Yisrael, does it have to? That's the Mishnah in Bava Basra. We started the whole introduction of Shtaris with, and Kufsamaches, Kost and Shtar, right? Apapi, She'eno Imo. Kost and Shtar, Kost and Getli, Isha. Read, Apapi, She'eno Imo. Why? Because what does a Shtar do based on Reish Lakish? It can testify about events which have not yet taken place. Can non-Jewish witnesses signed in a shtar do that? I mean, all we know, and all Rashi seems to be signing on to, is that in the case of Arkos, where the witnesses actually saw the event, that it works. But let's say the Edim were signed on to the shtar in advance of the transaction. Would that also work? I don't know, I'm thinking aloud. I know some Achronim speak about it. I'm not the first person to raise this question. But I think the issue, in part, is, again, going back to the Ksos cutting things off at one point, and the Nesivus taking it, a step further. And I'm taking it beyond that. It's not just the Xeris HaKosov, Amipi, and Belom Tiksava. What I'm saying is, the entire Chiddush of Shtaros as we know it, and everything connected to it, may be limited to Yisrael. Even though it's true that a non-Jew is kosher le'edus, right? But he's kosher le'edus of what he saw. Not the special din of Eidah Maksum al Ashtar, Kimishin Echor, Yusuf Bebezin, and everything that comes with it. So, in addition to raising the question, what would be the status of a non Jew as a Shtaraya in a Shtar Kinyan, or as a Shtaraya in a get? There's also a question, is he really a full aid in a Shtaraya in the Reish Lakish sense either? And if the answer to that is no, that also may end up being a further reason to exclude him as a shtaraya, right, from Gittin v'Kiddushin, Shechor, etc. Because there, serving the shtaraya, right, may require the Resh Lakish, meaning future oriented, Dasa Dischayev, Biyad Balashtar, everything that implies. Yeah. Who does? Meaning?
He said that even though the Marin Avshar applies to all forms of Eidos Bishtar, still we won't accept it for Eidos Raya, we'll only accept for Eidos Kumyon, and the reason he gives is because at the Shas, for Shtar Kinyon, the Shtar is still Biyad Ha, Biyad Ha Nozi.
Oh yeah? We said that here?
That's how I did.
Uh-huh. Which one? The Yotesman base or the Yodim base?
The one at Yodim base.
I missed that one. Okay, wow. Okay. But it says on a Drabana level.
Because he's
working with Balei Tosfos.
Right, right.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm suggesting this might be a Chiluk on a Daraisa. Okay. Good.
Should we take the
intermission
now?
What? Give me another couple minutes. Okay. We're going to probably go to like quarter two. Is that good? Because I still would like to get in the major idea, at least, of the other Sugyam, if I can finish up. But let me just finish the Arkos part first for a couple minutes. And then if you want a 5-minute break, we'll... This is our last year, so if you feel you need to go out, it's like I told you the other day, you can go. But, you know, the time stands still only for, like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, and definitely not for me, so... We're trying to accommodate everybody's schedule in terms of the final, so, you know... But anybody who's having difficulties, free to do what they have to do. Okay. Of course, this idea may be connected to the Nesivos as well. The Nesivos idea that shtar cannot be written by a non-Jew because it's a requirement of shlichos, right? And ein shlichos legon. But that's a big chiddush, right? Since when is there a din of shlichos leksiva in shar gittin? There's no lishma. There's none of this stuff. So the idea that there might be shlichos in the chasimos of other shtaros is something which we've encountered. Where do we encounter it? What? Bala Itur? Less exotic even than the Bala Itur. Dani? Gittin or Shar Shtaros? That's what we're talking about. That's the Nesivos.
Right there.
Well, he doesn't say you need shlichus luksiva in shar shtaros. Shlichus?
By gittin.
I'm talking about shar shtaros. Where the idea of, is there an idea that there's chasima of shlichus of chasima? Yeah. Less exotic than the Or Zeruah even. The Ramban. Which Ramban? Two Rambans. Kiddushin Chav Zayin, Baba Basra. Ayin Zayin, right? The Ramban earlier in the year, Ramban Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Ramban in Kiddushin Daf Chav Zayin, right? And that's really his way of explaining, in part, the problem of or solving the problem of Mipiyim Vlom Piksavam, or the problem of several problems as we discuss. What is it a proxy for in a way? The principle of Dasa Mischayev, meaning. The chasima sashtar has to be a reflection of the bailim. That's the idea. La shvuye shtara, right? So on the chasimos level, the idea that the eidim, even in shar shtaros, remember the Ramban there in Bava Basra Ayin Zayin and in Kiddushin Chav Zayin, it's not talking about gittin. We'll get back to gittin in a minute. Our Rishonim will think that even in gittin, there's no din of shlichos either in chasim or ksiva, and then the Rishonim are mechalik between Ksiva and Chasima and Git. But Gittin's much easier to explain. Shar Shtaros is a much bigger problem. So all I'm saying is, the Nesivos' view that there is Shlichos B'Ksiva, the Ramban's view that there is Shlichos B'Chasima may be connected. You could be Mechalek. I mean, the Ramban never said the Shlichos B'Ksiva. Okay. But the idea may be, you could distinguish between them, but the idea in both may be the problem of Ashviya Shtara, Dasa Mischaya, which again is something that has to reflect the Bible. This is different than the point we've been making till now. Till now we've been saying it's a Nakri thing. based on the Tosa Rush and the Ksos and the Nesivos and the Diuk that it's only Arkos when they see everything and everything else and the Mizuyuk Mitocho. That's an issue. Non-Jews are mufkaim from this idea. Now I'm suggesting something totally different, and that is that the requirement of, based on the Nesivos, the requirement of Shlichos, Beksiva, like for the Ramban, the requirement of Shlichos, Bechasima, reflects the idea that Shtaros in general are very bailus oriented, even outside of Gittin, Vikidushin, and Shechror, precisely again for reasons that have to do with the nature of Shtar and Das in the sky. Okay. Good. Now, that's one perspective. This is all according to the perspective and what you can gain from this perspective, with the implications of the perspective of Rashi, Hagos, Ashri, and Mordechai. Let me just give the other two perspectives, then we'll take a little break, and then we'll forge forward. Again, if I don't get to the Yud Zayin, I guess we'll leave it, but I'm still going to try. The second perspective is the view that the Din of Akum and his effectiveness in Shtari Rai is Doraisa, right? But is it really based on Eidos? Maybe we should take the line, Lomari Nafshayu, not as compensating for a Chashad which otherwise masks or obscures Kashrus Leidos, but Lomari Nafshayu is the source of Nemanus Doraisa. Okay. So what do we mean by that, Eliezer? Exactly. Tosus Rid, the Ritva, or Ben Kreskus, whatever you want to call it. Take that view. What are they saying? And in the Shtari Rai, are they effective in the Torah? The non-Jews? The non-Jewish Eidim? Absolutely. He says, "B'makom that lo ibri sahadi el l'shakri," quoting the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Samachay Amud Beis, which again is something we should all be very familiar with. When Odos Baldin works, then Lomari Nafshayu works. But it doesn't work as Eidos. What does it work as? Nemanus, a chazaka, a rove. It's something you can rely on. But it is Eidos. Shtari Kinyan are like Eidei Kiyum, he says. That's a very good equation anyway. Right? The idea that that Shtar Kinyan is like Eidei Kiyum. Right? Hodos Baldin isn't going to help you for that. And therefore, the distinction between Chaspa Bielma and Shtar Kinyan and effectiveness in Raya, not Betoras Eidin, not even necessarily Betoras Shtar, right? But Betoras Umdana or Chazaka or Yediya, is the basis for the differentiation. Now, if this is true, so then we understand very well Chas of the Alma. Now, what about the question of Moshe Viaro? Why don't we just say that Moshe Viaro is like Lomari Nafshayu? Right? That would be a good question. We don't have this, we don't have the answer anymore of the Mordechai Nagosa Shri. Yeah. Exactly. So number one, it's a psul, as opposed to, if you have an interesting situation, if you have a psul edus, but you have a kind of umdana, can you proceed as an umdana? Right, for somebody who is in the parsha of edus, and hear what you said before, that's what I meant. We'll get back to that point later on. What Jason said before, which is that sometimes people who are in the parsha of edus are then held to the standard of Vedas, right? That's exactly what we seem to encounter here. It's a very important principle. Moshe and Aaron are Beklal Eidos, of course. They just can't team together. And as such, you can't, they don't have a fallback position. Being in the Parsha of Eidos, right? They're Mufkoim, they're Psulim. Yeah. Is there a psul korva by Akum?
Yeah.
I mean, Akum or Krovim to each other?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, for the Gosa Shri and the Mordechai?
Yeah.
Well, there may not be no din of korva in Akum in general. That's a question. There is and there isn't. That's tricky. There's less korva. That's what Elliot was asking for also. There's actually less korva through Eved Enochayas, than there is between non-Jews. In certain dinim, there is a family structure for Bnei Noach. You know, Yerusha, certain Arayos, but in other dinim, not. I don't know the answer to that question. I think it's an interesting, it would be intriguing to try to pin that down, if we could. I don't know if there's any, I don't remember anything about that. But assume that they're not, I wouldn't be disturbed. There's no chalos. It's a very good point. So this we'd be saying that Moshe v'Aaron, because they're in the Parsha, they're held to that standard. That's how we assess them. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, if the psul of Korba is not, the Gemara says Gzeres HaMelech. The Rambam in the Sefer HaChinuch, this is again not just very briefly, the Rambam in the Sefer HaChinuch, when they talk about psul Korba, speak about it in terms of Chashash Sheker. In the opposite directions, one says, you know, to know someone is to, you know, be very committed to him and intensely loyal to him. The other says, to know someone is to disdain him, you know, and to know what a liar he is. But either way, there's a chashash sheker, either, you know, l'tova or l'ra'a. You know, that's the Rambam and Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam and Sefer Mitzvah I'm talking about. So the Minchas Chinuch asks the question, of course, what's the Rambam and Sefer HaChinuch, what are they talking about? There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Moshe v'Aaron, Shnei Achimim, Gzeres HaMelachim. Of course, the answer is that the way, at least in those formulations, the Rambam and Chinuch understood the Gemara was that the Gzeres HaMelech is to objectify the Chashash Sheker. But once that's true, that would be another answer to this question. Meaning, here there's a lo plus Chashash Sheker. And that's worse, in a way, than the neutrality or just non-chaskas kashrus of the non-Jew. Okay. Either way, we could explain on this basis. Okay, finally, Tosis's view. Tosis says that the whole thing is only a din d'rabbanan, as we know. Tosis goes through several chisronos of Akum. Number one, la b'nei krisis ninu. Number two, b'inan l'shma. Number three, La b'nei shlichus ninu, and Tosfos on Testament base at least thinks that the tzivui haba lichto v'lachtom implies shlichus. And finally, Tosfos says is a psul edus, and he's worse than eved. That point we already discussed. So how in that case does it work at all? The answer is lomari nafshayu is a din drabanan, and for shtaraya that din drabanan applies. Now the question is, according to Tosus, that it's a Dindrabanan in Shtaraya, it's a Shtar Drabanan, Be'edus, or it's just what the Ritva and Tosus Rid said on a Daraisa level is kind of what Tosus is saying works on a Drabanan level. So if you look at the Nesivos, in Simon Sameh Ches, like Sif Katan Dalada, Gimel or Dalada, I think, the Nesivos argues that even Drabanan for Tosus is no real shame Shtar. There's no real din of edus. What we're saying is you can get away without edus in this case. Lomari nafshayu is the mechayiv, and even that only works on a drabanan level. Of course, according to Tosis, Moshe v'Aaron is never an issue, right? Because that's real edus. That's the standard d'oraisa, no matter what. Others suggest that for Tosis, at least on a drabanan level, we do consider it to be a sharai. And the fact that there is a Kasibo Masira and other such niceties that we normally, as we plug in the regular dinam of Shtar, may be relevant to this question. Issues like Mipim Lom Piksavam, what about being made Mitoch HaKsav? To what extent do we really treat this simply as an Umdana or as a kind of issue of Shtar? Kasivas Yisrael, we already discussed. Mezuyif mitocho is always a factor for Tosis l'shitaso, both because Shtaraya doesn't work d'oraisa either. So therefore, all these stakos that we raised according to Rashi Udine, what about Shtaraya for Shtar Kinyan? What about the Raya side of Shtar Kinyan, the Raya side of Ishus, Edi Masira? None of that even gets registered according to Tosis. There is a problem in Tosis from another point of view. Number one, what does labanei krisus ninu really mean? After all, Tosis points out there's no shlichus, there's no lishma, there's pasaliedus. All that seems to be separate from labanei krisus. Tosis never addresses the line of the Gemara, labanei krisus, which is just remarkable. It would seem that according to Tosis, I think this is true, that labanei krisus is a din bifnei atzma, meaning creating a chefta shoget quite separate from the factors of psuleidus, lishma, shlichus. There's a separate din of get being, or the writing of the get, the creating get being part of, this is links to our ksav al-gabek ksav issue and other things, part of the ma'isa geirushin. And as part of the ma'isa geirushin, Akum would be mufka. Akum can't create a ma'isa geirushin, or can't be part of the actual process of ma'isa geirushin. So in terms of the chefta shoget, which parallels shtaros, the problem is you need lishma, you need shlichus, you need Eidos. Gittin specifically, there's an additional element, lav b'nei krisus ninu. Again, Tosis doesn't say it, but it's implicit, because otherwise the lav b'nei krisus doesn't go on anything in Tosis. Okay, that's point number one. Second point is Tosis on chabesim at beis. Tosis on chabesim at beis seems to take a diametrically opposite perspective. Right there, the Gemara says that cherishot v'katan can write a get. The Gemara says, lav b'nei deyaninu. The Gemara says, "Begadol omeid al gav." Then the Gemara says, "What about an akum?" The Gemara says, "Nachri adaita denafshe ka'avin." Fine. So Tosis there says, you see from this Gemara that there's no requirement of shlichus when it comes to ksivas haget. Aye, but there's a requirement of tzivuy abal. So Tosa says, yeah, that's a din, because there's no stamal lishma when it comes to Isha. That's what Tosa says called Beis on Beis. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Zvachim. There's no stamal lishma when it comes to Isha. It's not omedes legemershin. There's no stamal lishma. And since that's true, therefore, Tosa says, you require tzivuy abal. But it doesn't imply any requirement of shlichus. There's no din of shlichus whatsoever. Of course, our Tosa here on Tesla base doesn't hold that way at all. Here Tosa says pretty clearly that there's a requirement of shlichus, that the makor is tzivuy abal, etc. So either it's a machlokas, and bridging those two shitas, I should also add, there's some Rishonim will say, there is a requirement of shlichus in get, but the requirement of shlichus is itself a function of lishma, because there are two dinim of lishma. Number one, that there be lishma, like there is a din of lishma in shar dinim and sefer Torah and korbanos. You have to have kavanos lishma. But in gittin, maybe the lishma, and this is part of the bigger lishma issues, the lishma of gittin requires more than simply the kavanah of lishma. It requires that kavanah of lishma come for the bialin, and it be a function of the bialin. I would just take it one step further even. The lishma, I think this helps explain many sugyas, but we can't obviously elaborate right now. Lishma and gittin, I've said it before, isn't just about injecting kavanas lishma. It's about personalizing the get. There's no such thing as a generic get. There's no generic marriage and there's no generic get. Every marriage and geirushin of a marriage is highly personal and particularistic. And therefore, both to make it a matir and also to personalize it, the lishma has to come for the bailim. And that's maybe the requirement, why there's a requirement of shlichas, in addition to the aspect of it being part of the ma'isa geirushin. There is, however, one other point, and that is maybe you could be mechalek between Tosis on Tesumid base and Tosis on Chabesumid base. Tosis on Chabesumid base is dealing with Rabbi Lazar and Ksiva. Tosis here on Tesumid base is dealing with Rabbi Meir and Chasima. Now, some Rishonim take the view that whatever you're going to say about the requirement of Shlichus for Ksiva, for Rabbi Lazar and Chasima, for Rabbi Meir, it's going to be the same, because mid Rabbi Meir and Ishmael Rabbi Lazar, mid Rabbi Lazar and Ishmael Rabbi Meir. After all, it's all an interpretation of the Kasav. And as we remember again, Rabbeinu Simcha and the Arzarua, they said, yeah, that's the proof that there can be shlichus on farming out the chasima. Not whether the chosim is a shliach, but whether the chosem can make a shliach, or the aid can make a shliach, right? But, as we've explained many times, maybe it isn't Midrav Lazar Nishmal Rabbi Meir, because the whole idea of Shtar Beni Masir or Shtar Beni Chasim are two different ideas. Again, the Nesivus was using that too when he said, Shtar Kinyan, well, again, he was saying it specifically in Pim Balom Piksavim, but one could have added, right, there the Raya, the Cheftza, Reish Lakish. Maybe Masira is a different story. It's a Shtar Kinyan. It focuses on the Maisa. The point is that maybe the whole idea of Tzivui Habal and the question of Shlichos, Gufa Yobi Mechale. And that would explain Tosas on Tesumid Beis, which is focusing on Rav Meir, Chasima, believes that there's a din of Shlichos. Tosas on Chal Beis on the Beis, in the context of Rav Elazar, where it's a question of Shlichos Biksiva, will disagree. Just add one other point, and that is that the Tosas on Yudav Beis, about Chaspa B'Yalma, we made this point the first time when we talked on Dalet Amud Aleph when we read that Tosas. Tosas really makes it perfectly clear that there's a huge difference between Shtar Raya Al Yedei Nachrim, even on a Drabana level, and the Shtar Raya of Rabbi Eliezer, Eidi Basira Karsi, but Mishum Tikkun Olam. Tosa says that Mishum Tikkun Olam and all that will be effective in situations, that's Tosa Yudam Beis here, in situations where the Afilum Nomer Zeshashtar Matana Shechosim Bo Yisrael Kosher Liknos Vavaloi De Mesira. Even if you say that, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, even according to Bali Tosas, that Shtar Mamon, you can have Eidei Chasima functioning in place of Eidei Mesira, Haynu Mishum Shiyadua Yidei Eidei Chasima Shehink Sheirim Min HaTorah Shabo Shtar Miyad HaNosen Liyad HaMakavel V'chein Shtar Behodos Nosen Shuk HaKufeidim Aval Shtar Shechosmim Ba'ov HaKachavim Sheim Ba'lo Eidei Mesira Ba'lo Eidei Chasima Shek Sheirim Lahoid Ba'lo Hodos Baldin Lo Chashu Shtar Liknos HaYado Belohave elachaspa v'yal. The Tosas here, again, it could be the distinctions only between Drabana and Daraisa, but it sounds like what Tosas is saying is that even Drabana, like I was saying for the Nesivus before, that even on a Drabana level, Shtar Akum, Shtar Be'ede Akum, is not considered to be the dinam of Reish Lakish, which is what he's describing why you can have Ede Chasima working B'makom Ede Mesira, even according to Abelazar, even according to Bali Tosas. Bimominus, that does not apply to Shtar Ba'arkos Bidraban. Again, the idea that Hakob Hekshanasa isn't just an umdina, but it really is Eidus, and you can't compare that to Lomari Nafshayu, even in a situation where it worked. Do you want to have a break for 5 minutes and then we'll continue, or you want to just go through? I was going to give the break, but... Again, anybody who feels they have to go out, it's fine. Okay. Let me mention two other things. And then whatever we don't finish now, we'll get to in the first year back in June. Dina Machus or Dina part, very quickly. There's a major debate in the Rishonim about the source of Dina Machusa. That's not for now. Whether it's a kind of collective, corporate, pact, a social pact, or whether it's the right of the melech to impose his will, or kind of malchus even. We referred to this earlier in the semester when we're talking about the problem of Masur, right? The dina de malchusa dina, but not dina de malka dina. Many of these issues are obviously relevant to the question. If there really is a machlokas in the Gemara, whether Dina de Machusa Dina can help you in the context of Shtar Kinyan. So, again, the conventional wisdom, most are shown in the Sunnah, that today is in the Gemara are not machlokas, but it's machlokas and mitzias. The Rambam, on the other hand, as we've explained, in Perek Chav Zayin, Hilchos Malva V'lova, seems to only operate with the idea that Dina Machusa Dina does not apply. And Lakha Mishnah, and others asked, what about the other day in the Gemara? The Rashba Latar has a suggestion. Rashba says maybe Dina de Malkusa Dina doesn't apply in a situation where the government doesn't get benefit from the practice. It's only in a case where it's Lahanos, the Toeles, the government, that you'll say Dina de Malkusa Dina. But per se, for them to establish rules that regulate transactions where they themselves don't benefit, that doesn't apply. Of course, this is very, very important in general. We look at Dina de Malkusa Dina. To what extent you look at it as, something that you have to live with, and that's why it's very much dependent on what the makar is. They can impose their will, but it's very bidyeved, it's not, even if it's a neutral area, certainly if it's an area which competes with Dina Yisrael, you would want to limit it as much as possible. And then you might want to say, when they have a right to stick their nose into our business, big government, can be justified. But otherwise, we take the Republican, anti-regulation, stance. Law is necessary when it's necessary, but otherwise it's an evil. And not Jewish law, but other law. And therefore, only when there's a justification like Toelis Vahana. That's the idea of the Rashba. And some suggest this might be the pshat in the Rambam. Problem is that the Rambam in Hilchos Sechiyah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, makes it perfectly clear that even without Hana and Toelis, if there's an interaction or transaction between a Jew and a non-Jew, that the principle of Dina de Malchusa Dina applies. So there are other Achronim who suggest that maybe the idea is to be Mechalek between not just Lahana or the Toeles, but also between intra-Jewish Gentile or just Jewish-Jewish transactions. And here one should be Medayik in Rashi. Just interesting that Rashi kind of is sensitive to this problem, although he doesn't make the siluk, but he notes it. When he mentions Dina de Malchusa Dina, he says, Sheirim de Dina de Malchusa Dina, Afal Pisha Nosim Vamakabel Yisraelim Hei. So the idea that we would draw the line, this Dina de Malchusa Dina here is Bein Yisraelim Li Yisraelim. Rashi was sensitive to the fact, apparently Dina Malchusa Dina apply. The Rambam in Hilchos Sechiyah only has Jewish Gentile transactions, albeit not Latoelis or Lahana. It could be that's the place to draw the line. And there are Rishonim in the Sugya Baba Basra, Daf Nun Dalid, Nun Hei, that do draw the line precisely at that point. The Rashban, the name of Ben Yonah, has another possibility, and that is that Dina de Malchusa Dina only works Lahafgir, not Lahaknos. And that's why in the Sugya, the Kinyan would have to be either a separate Kinyan Chazaka, is the Rashba Latar, or a Kinyan Situmta. Situmta is, Minaga Sochrin. There's an accepted way, they always give the example like on 47th Street, say Mazel Lebracha, whatever it is that they say there in the jewelry district. It's like considered ironclad. You have a contract. So, I don't know. Shouldn't have to write Tznoyim anymore to say Mazel Lebracha. But the point is that according to the Rashba, Dina de Malchusa Dina parallels the discussion that the Rishonim have, although it's not necessarily Hova Hatalia, but Hefker Bezen Hefker. Right. Hefker Bezen Hefker, the Rashba in Hashaleach points out that there are two psukim. Eila Nachos Asher Nichalu is one. The other one is Kol Asher Lo Yavo Yacharam Shlosha Yamim Yacharam Kol Rechusho. Pasuk in Yoshua, Pasuk in Ezra. The Rashba says, L'may Nafkemina, whether Hefker Bezen Hefker is Hafka, or it can even be Hakna. And the Rashba here, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah in Bava Basra, doesn't link these two issues, but says that it's quite possible that in Dina Malchusa Dina there's the same debate. Again, they're not all about Talio. Even if Hefka doesn't Hefka as a koach of Hakna, it's quite possible that Dina Malchusa Dina only has the power to be Mafkir. Either way, if that's so, that would explain also a place to draw the line why Dina de Malchusa Dina could not apply to Shtar Kinyan, can't create a Shtar Kinyan. I think there's another possibility as well, and this goes back to what we've been saying. and that is that Shtar Kinyan, Dasa Niskayev, Reish Lakish, everything that goes into Shtar Kinyan, right, is something that is unique to Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, the Dina Machlus Adina would be inapplicable specifically to Shtar Kinyan, because just like, again, it can't interfere with Dine Yoredeya. There are certain things you just can't create. You might say it's a, you know, if the non-Jews want this to work as a transaction, so that becomes a Situmta. But the point is, you can never simulate the din of Shtar Kinyan itself. That is something which is unique.
Is that what Tosfos is saying?
What?
Is that possible what Tosfos is saying? That's why they weren't attacking by Shtar Kinyan?
On a Rabbanon level, you mean? Yeah, I'm saying this even on a bigger level. There is a Machlokas for the Din of Machlokas, Din, by the way, is Daraisa and Rabbanon. Tashtus says I would think it's a Din Daraisa, but there are some poskim in Shulchan Aruch who say that it's a din drabanan. I think the Avnei Miluim says he thinks it's daraisa, and he quotes a lot of poskim who think it's drabanan, but simple pshat it's daraisa. But what I'm saying is, even if it's daraisa, you know, of course it can never affect or create a yoredeya halacha. What I'm suggesting is that, in a way, a full appreciation of shtaros, it is almost, you know, a yoredeya halacha. Obviously, a choshemish, but yoredeya halacha. And therefore, again, it would highlight this uniqueness. Okay. What about shtarei? Okay. What about shtarei milva and shtarei mechila and all of that? So the Rambam, as we explain, questions we... Should I just stop? I mean, have you prepared this? I really wanted to get it all in, but... What did you prepare the most in the last 10 minutes that I can speak about? Yitzhayinu and Beis or the... What? What? Shai Milva? Okay. So how many people prepared the Yitzhayinu and Beis, the Yod Ches, and Aleph? No one? A shout out. Okay, so we won't speak about that, but we'll speak about what?
Do you mean
the Kesem Beis
Yitzhak?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What did I say?
Yeah, you said
Yitzhak and Beis Yitzhak. Okay, Kesem Beis. How many people prepare that with the Rambams? Just two people? Three people? Four people? And how many people prepared Shtar Milva and the Rambam and even less people? More people. Okay, so we'll spend another few minutes just talking about that, and then we'll pick up with the... I would have liked to finish with that because it draws a big circle around Shtaros and Eid Shabbatla. The Rishonim will think Eid Shabbatla doesn't apply to Shtaros.
Right, no, and
what?
Right, it's going to Bible.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that today.
Retribution for Sunday, though.
That's true. Yeah, I intend to collect. I intend to collect, just not dismiss. Okay, so let's speak about the Rambam just for another 2 minutes, and then we'll wrap it up. And again, that first Tuesday back, I hope to tie up the, whatever loose ends there are. In this sugya first, and then that other sugya to finish off that day. So really be prepared with it. So the Rambam in Hilchos Malva Belova, Perek Chav Zayin, has a very remarkable perspective. Let me just say this. So far we've examined three basic ideas, three basic perspectives on Eidus, Akum, and Shtar Arkos. Right? One is the Rashi school, let's call it the Tosis Rid school, and the third is the Bali Tosis. And what we try to show is that there are nafkaminas, there are implications along the way about the various applications, and about other dinim, you know, that are bound up with this, etc. The question is, what about all those in-between? Okay, we know about Shtaraya now, we know about Gittin and Shichror, we know a little bit about Shtar Kinyan, Chaspa, Bialva. What we don't know about is all those middle cases. The general view of the Rishonim, and what we think of, before I even say that, what we think of it depends on the three perspectives. The more you, like Rashi and Nagos, Ashurin, Mordechai, think that non-Jews are really Eidim Ksherim, right? The onus is then to figure out why there are limitations. Why not get into Kiddushin and Shechor? Why not even Shtar Kinyan? And you may end up saying, you know, explaining all those things, but you're going to have a pretty expansive, effective arkos, because you may even end up saying there's no mezuyah mitocho. You may end up saying that any mesira are going to work. That's a bit of a chiddush, I think, but you may even end up with that. On the other hand, if you're like Bali Tosis, the whole thing is a din d'rabanan, right? So then it's easy to think that you want to limit it as much as possible. And if you hold the middle view, which is that it's not edus, and it's not necessarily regular shtar, but it's simply a kind of chazaka or a rov, etc., so then you're going to draw the line in that way. Most Rishonim do draw the line in terms of shtari kinyan and shtari rai, and if you look in Shulchan Aruch, especially the Ramah, the only thing that's really excluded is going to be shtari kinyan. The Rambam, on the other hand, clearly did not take this view. The Rambam seemed like he was on a campaign, you know, to limit the effectiveness of our cause as much as possible. Right, to the extent, and this is, I think, expressed itself in three different ways. Number one, in the fact that the Rif brings up the question already. How much evidence do you need that the arkos is a kosher arkos? Or is every arkos automatically presumed to be kosher? The Rif says, you know, as long as the arkos are not chashidim, they're not chashudim b'shochad. So the Rosh says, what does he mean by that? He doesn't mean that there's a presumption of chashad shochad. The presumption is that they're good. They're good men. And until you know there's a shochad problem, you can proceed with arkos. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Perek Zayin, doesn't interpret the Rif that way at all. He says you need edim always that the Edom Yisrael, that the Edom Akum and the Dayanim Akum are not Chashidi B'Shochad. That's remarkable. As the Rosh points out, that puts quite a, you know, limitation into the effectiveness of our calls. You always need Edom about the Edom and Edom about the Dayanim. How efficient is that going to be? That's a practical question, but it's a good practical question. Now that argument, you know, whether there's a presumption of Chashidi B'Shochad or not, again, it could be a practical argument based on experience, parallel to what we were talking about before. Or it could very well be that the issue is the issue of cheskes kashrus that we mentioned. And it's a more principled idea. Either way, the Rambam severely limits the effectiveness. Secondly, what about what normally would be defined or described as shtari raya, but not exactly b'diyoyev zuzi kamayu? So the Rambam has this, again, amazing idea that shtare mechila and shtare pshara and shtare hoda, practically everything but shtar mecher, shal raya, is not going to be effective in our cause. And most of the Rishonim disagree. Alatar, Ramban, the Rajva, the Ritva, etc. And in Chosha Mishpat, they also mostly disagree. The Mefarshim on the Rambam already have a very difficult time explaining why Shtari Mechila and Shtari Pshara and Shtari Hoda and Shtari Matana Shal Raya, why aren't they Shtari Raya? Beis Yosef is bothered by it, and the Sma, I told you to look at some of the Smas. What's going on there? The Gra has a famous comment, Sivkot and Tetzvav, it's also quoted in the Frankel Rambam brings it down as well, if you didn't want to look it up in the Chosha Mishpat. That is, that this idea of Mari Nafshayu, you know, is limited to whether there's actually money or something tangible or concrete taking place in their presence. Anything less than that doesn't trigger enough mari, lo mari nafshayu. I don't know whether that's practically so, but that's the way the Gra understood it. In other words, it's a severe limitation, but for practical reasons. Is that really behind them? Therefore, Hoda and Shara and Matana, where there isn't a physical Nasira, right, they're all even though they're not shtari kinyan, they're excluded. The Sma, on the other hand, has a very different perspective, almost across the board. What he tries to do is elevate all of these other shtaros. And even if they aren't exactly shtari kinyan, they're not exactly shtari raya either. They are, in some level, the mechayiv of the hoda'a, the pshara, right? It isn't a shtar kinyan exactly, but it's at least a kind of a shtar shibud, or his chayvus. Some sort of a more formal and legally binding rather than just, you know, raya reflection And therefore, what he tries to do essentially is to bridge the gap. That's what the Gro is saying, is there Shtari Raya? Even Shtari Raya, barely is there a Hechshar Arkos. And what the Sma keeps trying to do is say these are, you know, more under the rubric of Shtar Kinyan than they are of Shtar Raya.
That's what you're understanding, Kriya Din? Kriya Din means...
Yeah. Exactly.
I think he was influenced because of the Rambam's Lashon Kirish HaMishnayos. The Rambam says, any place at Bezdin.
Right. Could be. Again, but that's the point, meaning there's something that's being created here, even if it isn't a Kinyan or Shtar Kinyan, but it is a, you know, some sort of a chalos, some sort of a additional creation. It's part, therefore, of the... No, he's expanded Shtar Kinyan and restricted or constricted Shtar Rai. That's the second point, I think, in the Rambam's campaign to limit our call. I don't really mean campaign, but you understand. The third, of course, is even to consider the possibility of Chas Babialma when it comes to Shtari Milva. As I mentioned, Shtari Milva don't appear in the Sugya, they only appear in Daf Yutes, Rav Papa. And there are two Girsos in Daf Yutes, whether Shtar Arkos is Govim Nechasim Mishubadi. That's a Machlokas or Rishon. And again, we're going to stop in one more minute, so I guess when we pick up with this in June, we'll elaborate the implications to Shtar Milva and to Arkos more fully. But just the short story is, the Rambam has a sheet, as we mentioned before, you have to coordinate, and comes to Shtar Milva, you have to coordinate the Gemara Daf Yutes and its Girsos with Shtari Parsoi and with the general question of Eidei Mesira, Bigviyah Menachasim Mishabadim, and to revisit Savya. Because the Rambam has the possibility that this is nothing, this is either Chas B'Alma, one radical view, meaning an Arkos, which means it doesn't even work as a Raya. It's Mamish Chas B'Alma, or Yergova Menachasim B'nei Chomri. But unlike almost all Rishonim, where the Girsan Daf Yutes, like the Ramban and the Rush and the mainstream of Rishonim, who are of the opinion that Arkos is even Govim in Chasam Mishubad. That's the third element of the Rambam. Now the Ravid here has a very famous comment. The Ravid says, what would be the reason that it would be Chas B'Alma, namely that it wouldn't even work as a Raya, namely you wouldn't be able to say Shtar Chabyani, my boy. What does the Ravid say?
No call. And therefore, Ashur Shindit Kabbalah.
No, because of no call directly, or... Because of no shibud. Ah, so is it because of the no call, or because the no call there's no shibud? If there's no shibud, there's no shtar chabyani my bay. So the Ravid seems to say here. So what does this remind us of? Which Rishon?
Ramban.
The truth is the Ramban, at the end of Av Basra, Ksav Yad, really is, has its basis in this Ravid. What's fascinating is as follows. Again, the Ramban said that Ksav Yad, there's no Shtar Chabyani, my boy, because there's no Gviyah Menachasim Mishabadim, and therefore you're not going to be so machbid about holding on to the Shtar. After all, the stakes aren't so great. That's what the Ravid seems to be saying here about Shtar Barkos. The Magen Mishnah says, can that really be Shitas HaRambam? After all, the Rambam holds in Ksav Yad that there's no Shtar Chabyani my boy, there is Shtar Chabyani my boy. There's no Shtar Chabyani my boy. And here it seems like halacha, there is. I mean, he has a two deos, but according to the second day at least, there is. If Shibudin are the reason why there's no Shtar Chabyani my boy, then halacha, the Rambam, should have coordinated Perek Chavzai, Nukos Malva, with Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Malva Halacha Gimel. So the Magen Mishnah says, apparently, according to the Rambam, the issue is whether there's a Cheftish al Shtar, not whether Lemaisa there's Gviyah Menachasim Shabbatim. Which, by the way, is just ironic, because it was the Magen Mishnah in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Malva Halacha Gimel, who said that the Rambam Shita was based on the Ramban. But this is inconsistent with what he says here. And I interpreted, as I tried to interpret it there, I agree with the Magen Mishnah here. I mean, the one in Chav Zayin, not the one in Yudal. But okay. So the point is that there emerges a major debate about whether you say Shtar Chabyani my boy, even in the case of are kos. The Tosfos Rid here, as we already mentioned, speaks about this even in Shtari Parsai. Even in Shtari Parsai, he says, there will be Shtar Chabiyani Mabai, even though there certainly is no Gviya Minachasa Mishubai. Okay, we'll pick up with this and that Yudkas on Day Sugya.
What's the date again? May?
26.
26? Let's make May 26 at regular time, unless I hear that there's a